Notice anything unusual about Santa Carla yet?
No. It's a pretty cool place. If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire.
Skip to the end.
Welcome to episode 116 of the Skip to the End podcast. As ever, I'm Ben.
I'm Gemma.
And I'm Mark.
And we've got a whole lot of stuff coming up on the show today. Let's get into it.
We will indeed. We're going to be serving some time on our top three prison movies to kick things off.
That's hell of a topic.
It's very different to anything we've done before as well. I think there are going to be a lot of films come up that we haven't discussed in the past, which is always great.
Yeah, in the slammer.
Our rewatch this time is The Lost Boys, an absolute 80s classic, and I can't wait to get to that.
Sink your teeth into that one.
Big time.
And our main review is the much-anticipated Captain Marvel, the first Marvel film to star a female protagonist in the lead role.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
Well, you've literally just walked out of the cinema.
Literally,
you?
Yeah. You two, did you watch it about a week ago?
I saw it on opening night.
Yeah,
bloody hell.
Ditto.
Oh, God. So, yeah, I just want to get to that now. Yeah. We've got to do a bloody topic before that.
Mm-hmm. We do indeed. We're also going to be movie masturbating over visionaire extraordinaire Terry Gilliam.
Oh, he's a weird dude. Makes some weird films.
Pretty much.
And this is the big one. This is, you know what I mean.
This is the real quiz.
Are you ready? Mm. This is the final round of one of our favourites. You agree?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, loved it.
Alphabets. And there's all to play for. Anything could happen right now. There's a lot of pressure because at the moment I'm in the lead, but I don't think I'll hold on to that lead very long.
I don't know.
It's going to be a tough one. We'll see.
And of course, we'll have all the other usual goodies you're used to from the Skip to the End podcast. We're going to give away a ridiculous amount of prizes as per usual, and we will give you our pop culture recommendations of the week. Before we get into the show, though, we want to talk to Gemma for a little bit. Because Gemma, you've just got back from somewhere quite interesting, haven't you?
I did. The Big Apple.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, munch, munch, munch. Yeah, it's very nice. New York suits me. Just going to say it. But I had a bloody good time. Thank you, New York, for being so accommodating and lovely. I got to go to a Knicks game. I got to see John McEnroe in the crowd. That was pretty cool. I also went up top of the Rock, ate a lot of food, drank a lot of beer.
That's what it's for, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what you go there to do, to see all the sights, eat all the food and drink all the booze.
I also went on a Staten Island ferry and went all the way back again. I was like, nope.
I did that. Last time I was there, I got on the Staten Island ferry just so I could say I've been on it. I got to Staten Island. No offence to anyone who lives there, but there's fuck all there. So I got back on and came back to Manhattan.
So there's no shame in that. And then I went to a really cool bar called the Dead Rabbit. If you're ever in New York City, go there. It's a blast.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah.
Nice beer, nice cocktails, and Irish music too.
I miss that place.
Oh, God.
It's weird because we went every year, didn't we, for a couple of years, and now we haven't been.
I think we went, did we go 3 times in 4 years?
Yeah.
Jealous.
Now it feels weird that we're not there. Yeah. Maybe we should look into that.
We'll go back.
I think that's a good idea.
Skip trip.
Yeah.
Find a reason, I don't know, like maybe New York Comic Con if they want to send us over there.
That would be unreal.
Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Right. Let's get started.
I'm Prison Mike. You know why they call me Prison Mike?
Do you really expect us to believe you're somebody else?
Do you really expect me to not push you up against the wall, biatch?
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And though I know you can't appreciate it, I'm only happy when it rains. You know I love it when the news is bad. Oh, why it feels so good to feel so sad.
Have we got a good episode? And to kick things off, we're going to start it with our top three prison movies. We're going down, boys. We're going down.
Cheeky.
In a cell. But hey, never mind.
that does happen in prisons.
Yes.
So I've heard the rumours. But enough about that. We're going to talk about our favourite film set in a prison environment. It's very straightforward. So Mark, I want to throw this over to you. Hit me with your best first one.
The most obvious pick, I'm sure you're both expecting it, The Green Mile.
Had my mortgage on it.
Yeah, one of the best Stephen King adaptations ever, in my opinion. And it was actually a series of small books. It wasn't one big book. Loads of little mini books, which I read because it was quite easy. If you gave it me in
pages.
One big chunk, I would never have read it. But if you gave me a little bit, works every time. This film is absolutely brilliant. And the reason is because they give the characters a lot of time. Screen time, the development, which they don't normally do. It's a 3-hour film, so that's why. A lot of Stephen King stuff, they do cheap, TV adaptations. They do cheap, shitty versions of the film with no one that you've heard of. In this one, they went all out. They had Frank Darabont.
Well done.
Wow, that's never happened before.
I've been practicing that all week. I've just been driving to work. Darabont, Darabont. One of the best actors of all time, Tom Hanks. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Michael Clark Duncan, who's no longer with us, who plays John Coffey.
There it is.
He's from Leeds again.
He is.
Hey up, Michael.
And quite a young Sam Rockwell. He wasn't that well known in the time. Uh-huh. The film's quite sad because it's about a guy that's wrongly accused of murder and rape. And actually, he's got quite these sort of mysterious gift about him. He's like this magic. He's like a miracle maker. It's, if you try to describe it to someone, it doesn't sound that great. What? So a guy goes into prison for rape and murder. He didn't actually do it. And he's got magic powers. It sounds bizarre, but it's a magical film. It really is. It's very emotional. And I think Tom Hanks gives one of his best performances ever as the kind of the head of this prison. But we see this guy brought in. He's massive. He's like 7 foot. He's absolutely huge. He looks threatening and he's as soft as a mouse. He really is, isn't he? He's absolutely brilliant. We have this story about the fact that he's just basically a nice guy. Even though the evidence is there, he's been wrongly accused, we have to witness him be executed, which was one of the saddest moments in cinema for
still,
me.
Yeah. Still
I absolutely hated it. It was awful. I wanted that end to be different. Like, I think, was it The Mist that was different to the book?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Change it. Let him live. Let him get off and execute the bastards in there. It's an amazing film. It's so, so good. It's heart-wrenching. You will cry. If you don't cry, you're dead inside. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's got a big budget. The score's brilliant. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
It is a great film. I didn't cry, of course. That's
when you said that, you're dead inside, the first thing I did was look at Ben with thoughts.
No, it is a great film, but I've only seen it once, I think, and that was a long time ago. I think it was when it first came out on VHS or DVD or whatever, so I really need to watch this again soon.
It's a real slog to go through, though. Three hours.
It is long. Yeah.
That's like a quarter of 12 hours.
Well done, Gemma.
Thank Here you are, all your maths.
Not just a hat rack.
What did that achieve? You know,
something to me, damn it.
But there's also a little mouse in there called Mr. Jingles.
Mr. Bojangles.
What?
Oh, fuck it, isn't it?
Shut up. You're doing it again. Trying to correct me and being wrong yourself. I fucking love it. Jesus Christ. But yes, it's a great film, and it's one that I'm sure you both would have bet your mortgages on.
Yeah, I know you're going
to
have
this. Yeah. And it's nice to actually get an opinion this week and not go and have duplications already.
Yeah.
Come on then, Ben.
I'm going to start off with Chopper.
Oh, yes!
So it's a biographical film starring Eric Bana as legendary Australian jailbird Mark Chopper Reed. So have you guys all seen this? I'm guessing you have by your screens.
Yes, amazing. Long time ago.
It's a magnificent film, and it follows Reed's various violent crimes, his life behind bars, and his experiences out in the real world after his release. It was the first time I ever saw Eric Bana in anything, because before this, he was a TV sketch comedian in Australia.
What?
And it was actually the real Mark Chopper Reed who saw Bana on this TV show and suggested him for the part. He just thought he'd be able to kill it, and he clearly did. It's a brilliant performance because he's utterly charming one minute and you want to be his friend, and the next minute he's this unhinged, violent thug that you wouldn't want to be anywhere near.
Very, very nasty piece of work.
Horrible. But it works for the character as well, because the real Chopper Reed was known to be a bit of a charming lunatic. You know, it was a man who once had an accomplice cut off his ears so that he could then go to the mental wing of the hospital and have a slightly more cushy life than staying in the normal wing.
Couldn't he have just asked to move?
Just pretend to have Tourette's or something. Yeah. Don't cut your fucking ears off.
He's going to need them at some point.
So daft. But it's really funny seeing Bana in the film, though, because he's barely recognisable from what we see today, because he's quite doughy and out of shape in this film, whereas we know him now as a kind of ripped Hollywood actor. Like, have you seen Troy? Have you seen what he looks like in that?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Sculpted.
Well,
yeah.
You know. I've always thought it was a shame that Eric Bana doesn't do more comedy, because for all this film was based on a true story, it is very funny in parts. And as we said, Bana was a sketch comedian. He very rarely does it. He's Mr. Serious, films like Munich.
Yeah.
And he's an excellent actor. But that's why I really liked him in Funny People. Did you ever see that?
The Judd Apatow film with
Adam Sandler. That's another one that was 2 hours too long.
It's very, very long. But it's a very good film, and Eric Bana's very funny in it. And I wish he'd do more like that. The film, as well as launching Banner's career, also launched the career of the director Andrew Dominik. His next film was The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
Which I love. A masterpiece.
Absolutely love that film.
It is. And the thing that I always think of when I think of Chopper is that back in the day, when DVDs were still relatively expensive, 10, 15 quid, Chopper would always be in the bargain bin for 2 quid. You would always just see it in every shop, in HMV and Zavvi or whatever places existed back then. It would always be £2.
That's mad.
Yeah.
It's £2, like £1 for each ear.
Yeah.
The maths today, you know what I mean?
No, you're getting it all, man. Hell. Wow. Don't bother going to your A-level maths lessons. Just listen to Gemma.
Come to me.
But it's an absolutely brilliant film, and I love it.
God, I've not heard that title in a very, very long time.
Chopper. I can show you Chopper later.
Whoa! And it's definitely worth more than £2.
Brilliant! Whee! Lads.
It's a horrible film. That's the thing. I remember that and Scum. I was like, ugh, oh, gosh, Jesus. Yeah, really slag. Hard to watch. Yeah. But yeah, Banner's not doing a lot now.
He's in Dirty John.
He is the other TV show,
and he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Super creepy.
I think he's underrated.
He is.
Yeah, Munich, man. That needs to be a rewatch.
Munich's brilliant.
So good.
Was he the villain in the first of the new Star Trek trilogy as well?
I think he was, yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. There you go.
He pops up every now and again, but he I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's he just can't be arsed. He's got enough money. He doesn't need to do a million films. He's not Bruce Willis. Or it could be that people aren't casting him. I don't know. But I like him a lot.
Yeah, because he's Eric Banner.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
My choice. I'm going to go for a film I watched very recently and Ben bought as a skip to the recommend a few years ago. And oh my God, it's so good. Brawl in Cell Block 99.
I've got it too.
Yes!
Nice.
It is written and directed by Bone Tomahawk's S. Craig Zahler, and it stars Vince Vaughn as a former boxer turned drug runner who winds up in prison after a botched deal. Now, Vince Vaughn, you associate him as, you know, kind of the easy guy, the funny guy. Hey, it's the guy from Wedding Crashers. It's that dude from Dodgeball. Jesus. He was casted perfectly because the way how he carries himself is so calm and yet calculated. But when he's got to drop a motherfucker, he'll drop them good and proper. Yeah. He'll even scrape a face off the floor if he needs to. He's perfectly casted as Bradley, such an imposing figure. And when he unleashes hell, that's exactly what you get. And it's actually the theme of the whole film when you think about it. So before he goes into prison, he's got this very sort of nice, cushy life with cash. Goes into the clinker and he's kind of got an all right deal with prison, except he's kind of encouraged to beat everybody up. But of course, you beat someone up, that's going to add a few more years on your ticker. So then he's transferred to another prison, which is run by Don Johnson.
Of all people.
Of all people. Yeah. And it literally looks like the seventh bow of hell. Mm-hmm. The colours have completely changed. So from the previous prison, it's all blues and sort of beiges and whites. But this prison is like blood, rust, brown, earthy tones. But the way how the film is, it's kind of another retelling of Dante's Inferno. Mm-hmm. By doing something, you know, immoral, that means he's never going to get out of that circle of hell. It is so good. Mark, have you seen this film?
I haven't.
Ben, tell him why you should.
It's all about Vince Vaughn. The film is essentially Vaughn in prison stomping on skulls. Mm-hmm. That's really it. You
that know, should be the DVD cover.
If that sounds good to you, get involved. And Vaughn has been on a real low-key career resurgence at the minute. He was brilliant in Fighting With My Family, as we said. I loved him in season 2 of True Detective, and I know a lot of people didn't, but I thought he was really trying to do something that was out of the mould that he's used to, and I thought he did it great. And I love him in this film. He's just so no-nonsense. We're used to him being the kind of smirking and winking guy in films, you know, like Swingers and stuff like that. But in this, he's just a big threatening beast of a man. Because the dude is 6'5". He's an imposing man, but because he's a winking douche in a lot of his films, you don't realise how much of a hulking beast he is, but he really uses his frame correctly in this film. It's interesting because it has a very slow build. There's not actually a lot in terms of violence happening in the first half. But by the time we get to the titular brawl, the film is this brutal, bloody gore fest. And the thing, Mark, especially, that you would appreciate, it has really low-budget practical effects that make all the bone-crunching and skull-smashing seem real. There's a bit where he's literally stomping on a guy's head and it kind of explodes like a watermelon. It's absolutely fucking brilliant.
Perfect.
Grindhouse. It is Grindhouse.
Yeah. Well, now you said Bone Tomahawk, obviously it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And S. Craig Zahler, who directed both of those films, I cannot wait to see his next film, also starring Vince Vaughn, called Dragged Across Concrete.
Come on!
What a title! Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
So genuinely, guys, does it top his actual appearance in Psycho?
Because,
you know, you want to talk about good performances and out of character for his usual jerky American... Hey! Yeah. Oh. Is it better?
Jeez.
Slightly better, yeah.
Then I'll definitely watch it. Did it go straight to DVD or something? Because I never ever saw it advertised in the cinema. No one ever said to me, I went to see that at the cinema. Mm. I reckon it might have been like one of those straight to DVD over here.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yes, it was, yeah. I believe so.
Crazy.
When you think about it, even the songs that are mentioned in the film, it's not sort of famous songs. It's clearly like in-house studio stuff.
Yeah.
So could be.
Very low budget, but very, very good.
I'm sold. And I genuinely will watch it, but not by next episode, at some point.
Mm. Okay.
My next one is Dead Man Walking.
Mm.
Have you both seen this film?
I haven't.
You've never seen this?
No.
Tim Robbins directed it. It's absolutely awesome. All about a death row inmate played by the incredible Sean Penn.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and this is big, big words, his finest ever performance on screen. We see this murderer, he's gone into prison and he's about to go on trial. It's horrendous. He's done very bad things to get him in.
Oh, I bet he has,
I bet he's
yeah.
been a naughty boy.
Yeah.
But he calls upon this sister Helen, who's played by Susan Sarandon, who is fantastic. Have I said her name right?
Try it again.
Susan Sarandon.
Sarandon.
Nope. Sarandon. Ah, nearly. I was doing well today. Who's absolutely fantastic as well. I don't see it hurt her in enough stuff. That's what I've noticed on this topic. But my God, Sean Penn, he is there trying to... like in The Green Mile, we see this redemption, but he's actually not done anything wrong. We just see this guy come and produce miracles and help everyone on the ward. This guy has done all the bad stuff, but we still see this remorse that he's going through, and it's like nothing else. Honestly, he should get an Oscar for this performance. It's that good. He's never really impressed me as an amazing actor. I've always just thought, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
The moment I watched this film, I was like, he's one of the best actors on the planet. Mm-hmm. It's that good. Also, you get a young Jack Black.
Yes, really?
He's in it, yes.
What?
And Peter Sarsgaard.
He's very good.
Oh.
So, you know, if you want young upcoming actors, check this one out for them too as well.
I am absolutely amazed that A, you know who Peter Sarsgaard is, and B, you pronounced his name correctly.
I know.
Am fucking flummoxed.
And I fucked up Susan Sarandon.
Oh.
But there's not much you guys can contribute to this, but just take away this from it. Please watch it. It's that good. It's absolutely mesmerizing. The way he is on the cell and the way them two work together is a bit like Hannibal Lecter and Clarice in Silence of the Lambs. Uh-huh. They've got that kind of chemistry, that intense... You kind of empathize for him, thinking, Jesus, like, I really start to warm towards you because you see how guilty he feels. But then you remember what he's done. And that's quite powerful in cinema to do that, when you start to kind of think, oh, bless him, when he's an absolute mental murderer.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's very powerful cinema at its best. And I've only watched it once, and it's that good. It just made my topic. It's so good.
Okay. I do love Sean Penn's work. He's a bit of a knob in real life, I believe. But he's a great actor. Is it Mystic River he's in as well?
Yeah.
That's
a
fantastic
film. That's so good.
Yeah.
I didn't realise as well he was married to Madonna.
He was.
Which is
at
crazy.
Some point.
Yeah.
He used to slap her about.
Yeah.
I think he did.
Oh, bloody hell. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And on that bombshell.
Yes. Is it to Gemma now? Because she had your choice.
That's right, yeah.
Bloody hell.
So I've gone for a film I don't think a lot of people have heard about, but I really liked it. It's called The Stanford Prison Experiment.
Ooh, now which one? Because there are multiple versions of this.
The 2015 one, the more recent one.
And who's in it?
Ty Sheridan, Ezra Miller,
yes.
Billy Crudup.
I have seen it. Very good.
Mm-hmm. So it's a real life story. This genuinely happened in the 70s, and it's about 24 male students that were selected to take this randomly assigned task of prisoners and guard in a mock prison that was located in the basement of the Stanford Psychology Building. So it was planned to last for 14 days. It lasted for 6 days. It's uncomfortable to watch as the film goes on, but at first glance, the participants are kind of, you know, sort of, they're there to make a quick buck. You know, they're like, oh, well, it's going to kill some time. What's the worst that can happen? Well, power. That's what. Mm-hmm. That's the worst that can happen. And the students who are assigned the roles of the prison guards start to become too immersed in their roles, and they start getting very abusive and actually use brute force against the prisoners. And it starts to take a toll on both sides, both mentally and physically, especially the prisoners. You've got about three or four start walking out. But it's just a really interesting look on the role of prison films, because even though this isn't necessarily set in a prison, it's the whole concept of power, of prisoner versus guard, who really does have the power in front of it. But it's insanely good.
It is. It's a very, very good film. And also the true story is amazing.
Yeah.
The fact that these people who are in the position of guard, they turn sadistic.
Yeah.
These were good people. These weren't criminals they bust in. These were students. These were young men who had no, or at least they didn't think they had any psychological defaults. And within a day or two, they turned sadistic. Yeah. The shit that they were making the prisoners do.
Oh, yeah.
And the prisoners, again, these were volunteers. They could have got up and left at any time. But a lot of them allowed themselves to be punished because they'd psychologically drawn themselves into this role. They had internalised the fact that they were prisoners and allowed the guards to run roughshod over them when they could have just left.
Jesus.
It's an amazing, amazing psychological experiment that went wrong, technically. It didn't achieve what they wanted it to achieve, but what it did achieve tells you a hell of a lot about people's psychology anyway.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Even the doctors didn't stop it. They had to be forced to stop the experiment itself. They were willing to let it go on for the remainder of the experiment time.
And the cast in this film is brilliant. All those young people, like, as you say, Ty Sheridan and stuff.
Yeah, really, Ezra Miller too.
Yeah, really good cast. Yeah.
Did you read about this week that he's now going to be writing a Flash film?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
To make sure it gets made, I think. Yeah. People are starting to just forget about
it. I'm excited about that.
I'm not.
Oh. I have faith in him. I like him.
Yeah.
You're not a fan?
He's all right, isn't he?
He's a nasty boy as a young child in We Need to Talk About
I didn't like him. I don't like him as the Flash, to be honest.
Oh.
Grant Gustin is the Flash to me from the TV series.
You've got a big soft spot for him, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Oh. That's cute.
Yeah. I saw a new trailer today as well for Shazam. Oh my God. Oh. I just want to see this film now.
I knew you would like it because it's basically a superhero version of Big.
Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right. Yeah. But yeah, DC might actually finally get a good balance of humour.
I can't wait to see it. Looks amazing.
How adorable is Zachary Levy in it? Oh, he's so good.
Are we going to review it? Hopefully.
It falls between episodes, I'm afraid.
Skip trip.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it as a skip to the recommend that week. Fuck it. Is it my go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is an obvious one. American History X.
Ooh, very good.
You knew it was going to be made. Mm-hmm. Talk about redemption. This is the ultimate redemption film for me. Edward Norton's best ever work on screen, in my opinion.
I'd agree.
That's big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Edward Furlong's best ever work.
Yeah.
Ethan Suplee's best ever work.
Oh, I don't know.
I love My Name Is Earl.
Morats. He's pretty good.
Yeah, Morats. But this film was one of those films that got given to me on DVD, I think it was, by my mate Stu, and was like, you need to watch this, it's very powerful. And you're just kind of like, yeah, all right, I'll give it a go. And the first time I watched it, it just absolutely shocked me. It's one of those times when you don't pick up your phone, you don't do anything, you're just glued to the screen the whole way through. We all know that huge scene about the curb stomp, which sticks with everybody. The sound, everything about that whole scene of seeing some guy's whole mouth, and you hear the teeth on the actual curb, and then the foot going to the back of the head.
Yeah.
It's one of the most powerful scenes in cinema history. It's that big, isn't it? It's huge. Mm-hmm. It makes your skin go, ugh, it's horrible.
And the bit about that scene as well, the actual stomp on the curb is brutal, but it's when the police turn up. And Norton's character, he turns around, they tell him to put his hand on his head. He turns around and he's built like a brick shit house. He's massive, Norton. He's got that fuck off swastika on his chest and that smirk on his face. That sticks with you.
He's so proud of what he's just done.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, that same guy is the person that goes to prison. We see him actually realise what he's done. His best friend, who's black in the cell, he becomes best friends with when he's been killing black people until that point.
Yeah.
It's a really good story of redemption where we see these two people and he starts to just let his guard down. And it's actually quite a horrible twist in the fact that the people in there, they abuse and rape him, don't they?
Yep.
And in the end, it's the black guy who's his mate that saves him. Mm-hmm. So it's really like, what the hell? He comes out and his brother's all twisted. He's with some Nazi groups.
Yeah.
He's basically wanting to live the same life that his older brother Derek lived. And you're just there going, oh my God, like this is the last thing he wants. He comes out as this hero that everyone's like, yeah, he's the king of Nazis. And he's changed.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want anything to do with it anymore. And I was just glued to the whole screen. It's one of the most depressing endings, like The Mist, which we've already mentioned today. It hits you so hard because as everything goes right, and this is going to be a spoiler, his brother's shot and murdered by a gang in his own school, and Derek's there too late to try and save the day. And it was just at the point when his brother was starting to turn things around. He was taking down the racist posters, the Nazi flags in his room, everything was going well, and then it gut punches you like no other thing in cinema, and you're just there going, fucking hell. And the director said he hated it, didn't like the cut, and wanted his name taken off it because it wasn't the way he wanted it to look. So God knows what he had planned.
Yeah, and he's pretty much done fuck all since.
Yeah.
There you go.
He probably regrets that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah.
This film, it's interesting to me that this film, when it came out, was a massive critical success. Did good money at the box office, I think. People love it. People still rave about it now. But I think a sign of how much times have changed, if this film came out now, there'd be a lot of people whinging about it for the same reason people whinge about Green Book.
Yeah.
Because in Green Book, the racist white guy makes a black friend and then likes black people. And everyone's saying, oh, it's too easy, it's too simple, it brushes over the reality of life. Same thing happens in American History X. But because we weren't such a touchy, outraged culture 15 years ago, people appreciated the film for what it was rather than bitching about it.
You've offended me there, Ben.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone's getting offended by everything nowadays. It's annoying. But yeah, enjoy this film for what it is. It's absolutely fantastic. It's so well shot as well, because the past scenes we see of Derek when he's with his friends are all shot in black and white. So we see a scene where they're job in a supermarket where they're playing a game of basketball, whites versus blacks with the courts. And because it's done in black and white, I think it comes across more powerful. Yeah. It really is. It's a stunning, well-made film. And I'd love to actually interview the director one day and say, what was wrong with it, dude? Because I fucking loved it. And everyone I know loved it.
That's your mission for Mark and me, then. Yeah. Try and get him on.
Good luck with that. He's probably working in co-op or something now.
Other supermarkets are available.
Ben gets to talk again.
Hurrah. My final pick is Bronson.
It's mine too.
Way. Lovely.
It's another biographical film, this time about Britain's most notorious prisoner, Charles Bronson, played here by Tom Hardy. And the film looks at his early life and how he turned to crime and his experiences inside and his failed attempts at rehabilitation into society. It's directed by Nicholas Winding Refn, who directed Drive and Only God Forgives, and it was one of his very first English language films. It's an utterly bizarre film because it intercuts the normal narrative with Bronson breaking the fourth wall and also presenting parts of the story as this kind of vaudeville-style theatre performance. Yeah. It's so eclectic and weird. It's deliberately surreal and showy, but also darkly funny, which befits the man at its centre because he is a darkly funny and odd man. It also features one of the weirdest scenes I've ever witnessed. It's when Bronson strips naked and asks the hostage to rub him with Vaseline so that it makes him harder to grab when the prison guards have to try and catch him.
Because he calls him the C-word, and then like one slip of the tongue goes, oh, come on, you slag! And they're like, yes, thank you.
It's so funny. It's a brilliant immersive performance from Hardy. One of his first leading roles, and it catapulted him into stardom after that. And the real Bronson apparently loved the film and raved about how great Hardy was.
The way how he kind of contorts his whole body and his voice, the use of language that he uses. There's one particular scene that I love, and it is during that theatre section. Mm-hmm. It's just after he's failed at murdering the paedophile in the psychiatric hospital. And he has half of his face painted as him, just with a bit of white paint, and the other half is as this sort of nurse. So he's got like paint hair all on his face. It's all, he puts on an effeminate voice, gestures and everything, and he's having this conversation within his head by switching his sides each time he sort of takes on the other role of the person. But just again, like, he, it's two different people, but it's still him. Mm-hmm. Best Tom Hardy performance, hands
down. I was about to say, he's never really topped it, really. Yeah. No. He's now just done the same sort of role where he just has his mouth covered up and just has to talk and go, but I love the guy and he's a very talented actor, but he just plays it safe now. I want to see him do more stuff like this and more stuff like, what was the one where he was both twins of the
Legend?
Yeah, oh, the Krays, that was it. Yeah. In that, I thought he was great because he actually challenged himself. Everything else, he's just a bit butch or just the nice guy. I want to see him do more wacky stuff because there's nothing more wacky than Bronson.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. And you see his dick.
Brilliant.
So well, if you want to see Tom Hardy's dick, there you go.
That's a quote.
1 hour, 26 minutes, 31 seconds. If you pause, wow.
And it also has super hands from Peep Show.
It does have super hands.
Oh, shit. It's a great film, but so weird.
Yeah.
So I can understand if people hate it. I can understand why. It's a Marmite
film.
There's
a lot of effing, jeffing and chefing.
Yeah.
I think that's true of Nicholas Winding Refn as a director anyway. Mm. He makes very Marmite-y films. Although that being said, I've never met a living human that likes Only God Forgives.
No.
That's terrible.
It's fucking awful.
Only God forgives him for making that. That's the truth. Fucking awful. I didn't realise he did Drive as well and that and Bronze. Yeah, that's mad. Mm-hmm. Mm. Drive needs to be a rewatch one day.
Absolutely.
Imagine all we'll talk about is just, well, Ryan was good walking around looking confused and the soundtrack was good. The end.
Yeah.
Shall we score it?
Yeah. Amazing.
I too had Bronson. So that concludes our top three prison movies.
That concludes. That's our new thing. That concludes.
That concludes it. The end.
Skip to the end.
Shall we hear from social media?
We better.
Yeah? Well, hold your horses, Mark, because here it comes. Twitter, first and foremost. We've got Carol Wheeler at Carol Co. said, Papillon.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Nope.
Neither have I. Midnight Express and Escape from Alcatraz.
I've not seen any of those.
I've seen Escape from Alcatraz, but many, many years
ago.
Helen M. Boole at H. Boole said, Brubaker. Or Brubaker.
Never seen it.
There we go. The Green Mile.
Fantastic.
And The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great film.
It's amazing. It's not the best film ever made.
This is it. I kind of rebel against that film because it's always at like the top of the IMDb 250 and stuff. And I kind of like, it's good, but it ain't that good.
No. Nah,
bullshit.
Yeah. Mm.
Then we've got Magic Dell at Magic Dell said, Stir Crazy.
Very good film.
What a great film.
Pardon Us.
Not seen that.
Nope. And Chopper.
Of course.
Brilliant.
Then we got Killer Clown at Killer Clown FOS said Bad Boys. Sean Penn, Bad Boys.
All right.
I thought you meant Will Smith. That is definitely not a prison film.
Sleepers.
I haven't seen that film for years.
That first 20 minutes. Fucking mental. Hard to watch. And The Rock.
Welcome to the Rock.
That's a really good film. It is. Really good.
Then over to Facebook, we got Paul Butcher said Scum.
Yeah.
Subhuman Scum.
Horrible. Horrible film.
The Green Mile again.
Yep, beautiful.
And The Great Escape.
Yep.
Mark Hatcliffe also said The Rock. Fortress.
Not seen it.
And Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Yeah. Brilliant.
That's correct, Mark. Jen Alford said Bronson. Startup.
So I've not seen that. That's quite recent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very good. And The Shawshank Redemption. And then finally, over to Instagram. James Bottrell at UncleBizzle123 said Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. Escape from New York.
Should have had that. Really. I thought you were going to. And it's Dad's birthday today.
Yes, happy birthday, Dad. Yeah.
So that's where we're recording this. That's why we need to finish early.
I didn't get him anything. He'll never forgive me.
We'll give him some mead.
Yeah.
But where should we get him some from?
Well, the only place I'd go is Lime Bay Wine.
Oh, that's where I'm going to go. Well, I'll tell you what, after we record, we'll go and get some mead for him. Yeah, yeah. And we'll go and meet him.
Okay.
There we go.
There we go.
Brilliant.
That's Lime Bay Winery.
Brilliant. Thank you.
But James's last choice was a film called...
Sorry.
You know, just piss all over my chips. His last choice was A Prophet, which is a foreign film.
I've seen that. It's a good film.
A brilliant film.
Very good.
And it was so hard to get ones that didn't mention The Green Mile and The Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. My God, you guys love it out there. Mm-hmm.
Those are new listeners as well, which is great.
Oh, yeah. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Brilliant. Whose topic choice is it for the next one?
Oh, that would be mine.
Ooh.
Brilliant.
Let's cause some havoc. Let's fuck shit up.
Yay.
Let's do our top three movie rebels.
Yeah.
We've been to see Captain Marvel, and in the film, Carol Danvers is a warrior for an alien race called the Kree, and she's caught up in a war with their intergalactic rivals, the Skrulls. When Danvers crash lands on Earth, she finds out about her mysterious past and begins to embrace her future as Captain Marvel. The 1990s set film stars Brie Larson as Danvers, a digitally de-aged Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury, and introduces Jude Law and Ben Mendelsohn as a pair of aliens with mysterious agendas.
Oh my God.
We will, of course, be discussing the ending of this film and other key plot points, so there is your spoiler alert. Gemma, I'm going to throw it over to you first. Captain Marvel, or Craptin Marvel?
Has Ben been on speed? He's talking well fast. I was like trying to keep up then. Like, what are you drinking right now?
I'm drinking Smirnoff Ice.
Why are you drinking? I don't care what Gemma thinks of the film. Let's talk about this.
Well, so I've spent the last couple of days at a beer festival, right? And I was coming back from the beer festival yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'd been there something like 8 hours, so I was a little bit tipsy.
Yeah.
So I went into Tesco, wanting to get some more booze, as you do. And I saw Smirnoff Ice, and it was on offer. And I thought, fuck it, man.
Do you know what? It's easy to drink.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. And it's not that expensive.
I thought, tonight I'm going to party like it's 1999. I'm going to drink Smirnoff Ice.
It's perfect for the 90s of Captain Marvel.
Oh, I see what you've done.
That's why I did it.
Nostalgic. So,
synergy.
Brilliant. The dedication that we do with this podcast.
It's beautiful.
But yeah, Gemma, did you like it?
Oh yeah, we got to talk about Captain Marvel. Okay, so it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But damn it, I'm happy with the end result. Captain Marvel is going to be a welcome addition to the Marvel Universe. And she didn't come here to play. She came to slay.
Ooh,
nice.
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Okie doke. Mark?
I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was against the odds, because I've been reading a lot. Obviously, a week it's been out now. Everyone's going, it's shit. Mm-hmm. It's shit. It should never have a female lead. No fucking way.
Fuck off.
I loved it. I've only just come out of the cinema, so I'm always good. Oh, 10 out of 10. No, Mark, calm down. Let Ben talk, let Gemma talk, and then come up with it. But at the moment, I feel great, and I can't wait now for Avengers. I'm just getting so psyched. It's the perfect installment to lead you ready for the next big finale. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to piss on your cornflakes, but I thought it was a marvellous lead performance in a far from marvellous film. I found it colossally disappointing, I'm afraid to say. Brie Larson, let's start with her, of course. She is the star. She is magnificent as Captain Marvel. There is no doubt about it. She's so cocky and cool and arrogant, but without being a dick about it. She just knows who she is. She's self-possessed. She's experienced, and she can kick ass and doesn't need to worry about anyone else. I think she's absolutely brilliant in the role, and I just wish the rest of the film had risen to her level.
Okay.
She is hot as well. I really fancy her. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it.
Brilliant.
She is hot.
Yes, she is, but that's not the important factor,
but she's
is
also
it?
Inspirational, because there was one or two moments during the film where I felt fucking proud to see the likes of her on the big screen and a sold-out IMAX screen in New York.
All right, bragger.
You know, didn't want to say anything, but I was so fucking proud of seeing this. This has been such a long time in the making. And for me, I was not disappointed.
One of the things that I did like, and this kind of plays into Mark picking up on her hotness, I like how they've portrayed her as cool and competent rather than sexy.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is, think back to Iron Man 2, when we were introduced to Black Widow, and we see Scarlett Johansson in a tight leather catsuit slinking around. It's like they're clearly just going for the sex appeal. They've course corrected on her. You know, Black Widow's a badass these days, but that's not how they introduced her. And I'm glad they didn't try and go down that route with Captain Marvel. They've just introduced her as this super competent badass warrior woman who is incidentally very beautiful, but they've not played to that angle.
Mm-hmm.
And I like her in a Nine Inch Nails t-shirt and jeans. That's just cool. She looks great.
I think my one issue with Brie Larson is she has a very girly voice. She doesn't have an adult woman's voice. She has a very kind of girly voice. And it kind of takes me out of it a little bit. It kind of counteracts the badass nature of her character when she has this very like 8-year-old girl's voice.
Especially when Scarlett Johansson is so sort of
deep.
You know, she's not raw. She's not a metal singer. But she is, isn't she? She's got a lot of what's the word? Like gravel. It's good.
It's not surprising that Scarlett Johansson once did an album of Tom Waits covers, I think.
It's a really good album.
I want to listen to that.
It is good.
I hope it's worth the wait.
But you could counteract that and say, isn't that a representation of anybody could be a superhero? Anybody could be Captain Marvel?
I guess.
There we go.
Yeah. I tell you what, when I'm seeing her in this and how much of a badass she is, my first thought was, I really want to see her meet Valkyrie.
Yeah.
From Thor Ragnarok. I want to see those two together just kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah, because you know they will too.
Yeah.
It's really different for her as well. Like, we obviously always associate her with Room, which got all the Oscars and all the buzz. That's such a different role for her. Like, when it got cast and everyone was like, no, she won't be able to pull it off. Everything was against her. And I'm sick of reading all these reviews.
Same
of
man.
She's shit. She shouldn't be allowed to do this film. Who else would you cast? She fucking nailed the role. Like you said, you might not love the film, but she was outstanding.
Yeah, and hello. Box office record breaker.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's killing it. Let's talk about some of the other characters. Let's talk about Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. Mm. I like how he's very different in this film from how we've seen him before. And not just the looks, the digital de-aging and the thatch of hair, but the way he acts. We're used to seeing him as this kind of stern, jaded badass. But in this film, he's more loose and friendly and kind of naive. He's a very different guy. He's not quite soured on the world like the version of Fury that we're used to seeing. I really enjoyed him in this film. It's great seeing a different side of him.
I thought it worked as well. You know, sometimes when you like, they do all this CGI and all this stuff, you gets taken away from it and you're like, that doesn't look right. Especially in like Guardians at the start and stuff with Dad. He looks a bit different in Guardians 2. Kurt Russell I'm referring to, if you hadn't listened to us before and realised he's actually our family member. But in this, it worked. I wasn't looking going, that looks wrong. I like the fact he had his hair and then we see how his eyes removed and all that. It's really fucking good, man.
It is. And to be fair, though, they didn't have to do a lot, because I watched the Jonathan Ross show a couple of weeks ago when Larson and Jackson were on it. And I'm looking at him thinking, for a dude who was, I think, in his 70s.
Is that all?
I think he's thereabouts or mid-60s, something like that. But he has very few lines on his face anyway. Dude looks good for his age, so I don't think they had to do a lot. Compared to Michael Douglas in Ant-Man, where they had to really get rid of his old man face.
Yeah.
Old man face.
Not once did I think that it was all digital. No. I was convinced that we were seeing Nick Fury in 1995, 1996.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. It shows the character development of how far he's come when we were first introduced at the very beginning of the Marvel Universe. It was great. A welcome addition.
Yeah, I loved him. I also loved Ben Mendelsohn.
Loved Ben Mendelsohn.
As the villain, Talos. I thought he was the best thing in it.
Yeah.
Apart from Brie Larson, of course. I thought he was really funny as Talos.
Yeah.
I didn't expect this Skrull villain to be essentially the comic relief of the film. Like, the way he's reacting to the cat and stuff was really funny.
It was awesome, man. And he should do more. We don't see enough. Again, we keep saying this all the way through today's episode, but we don't see enough of him on screen, and we should.
He just keeps getting cast as villains. So he's been in the more recent Star Wars. Was it Rogue One he was the villain? Krennic? He was the villain in Ready Player One as well. He's just the go-to Hollywood villain at the minute. I also like the fact that he got to play this role with his native Aussie accent.
Yeah, me too. It's really gruff and really like, you know that he would probably like lift a sheep on his shoulder or something. And I was here for it. But I really liked that.
But what about, I can't remember his real name. I call him Alfie, but what's his
Jude
real
Law.
Name? Jude Law.
Well, one of his least remembered roles.
this was the part that didn't really work for me. I couldn't be that invested in him at times. I just thought, I can't take him seriously. It's weird. Now he's losing his hair. He's always the perfect man. Every girl I know loves him.
Really?
Oh, he's so amazing. He's just so handsome and all this. And I'm looking at him now and he just doesn't look the same. He's losing his hair. He looks all... I don't know. I just couldn't take him... Seriously, it's like putting what's the guy from Three Weddings and a Funeral and all that?
Hugh Grant.
Three weddings.
Three.
One got called off.
He only watched the first 90 minutes of the film. Turned it off.
Yeah. But imagine having what's his name, Hugh Grant. Yeah. Imagine having Hugh Grant as a villain in a Marvel film. You can't take it in seriously. It's
I'd pay for that.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. I'm terribly sorry, but I'm going to have to destroy you all.
I am Thanos. But yeah. But
I'm Thanos. But,
very good, Gemma.
That would be really good. But I just, he's too much of a pretty boy. He's too much of the good guy. I've never seen him as a real villain, so it's too much for me.
I kind
of
like that, though.
I liked him, yeah.
Well, marry him then. Bloody hell.
Hang on. You're the one that's saying far too much about him than me. I'm just sat here.
Ben.
His looks just weren't on par as when he did Alfie 2002.
I just wasn't convinced. I didn't think like he put his whole heart and soul into this performance. But he's up against some big weights and big weights. He's up against some heavyweights who are nailing it scene for scene.
Let's talk about some of the things that I didn't like then.
Okay.
And then if you guys love it so much, you can tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay.
I thought the fight scenes were fucking atrocious. So poorly done. The action was too close up and the camera kept swooping all over the place. And the editing was incredibly choppy. So you couldn't see what was going on half the time.
No, that was like a bit of a Chris Nolan fight where he doesn't get it quite right. And it was too close. And that's what DC always do. And I'm like, Marvel never do that. They have these choreography... that works so well where you're like, oh, I can see every punch and every kick and everything. And there was a bit where I think she was fighting on the floor and I was lost. I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm glad I'm not watching it in 3D because I have no idea.
Every time someone was hit, every impact, there would be a cut to another angle. You don't want to cut at the point of impact because then you lose the whoomph of the actual hit.
Yeah.
You're not getting the full impact if you're cutting away every single time. Really, really amateurish shit, I thought.
Okay.
It was very, very poor. And I don't think there were enough kind of fuck yeah moments in the film.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that one.
The one truly fuck yeah moment in the film for me is when Carol finally unleashes her full power. So she's on the spaceship at the end. They've taken that kind of restraining thing off her neck. And then she fires up and she's basically on fire. It reminded me of the scene in Ragnarok when Thor lands on the Bifrost with all the electric crackling around him. It reminded me of that. And I just wanted more of those for Carol. I think she deserved more.
I love the moment when you see her get knocked down and it cuts to when she was a kid to when she was in a military academy and she's being jeered by all the men going, nah, come on, you ain't never going to do that. And it was that composition of her slowly in each time zone getting up. And I found that really, really sort of, that was kind of like a, I wouldn't say it's like a feminist yes, but it was from an experience as a woman, you know, I know what it's like to be told that you're not enough, you're weak, you're not smart, you're not this, you're not that. And to be told, you know what, fuck all of that, just fucking do it. I found it very, very cool.
Wow.
Mark, any thoughts on feminism?
I just thought...
Perfect one.
I'm just going to say that I felt, when I was watching the film, it felt a lot like Guardians of the Galaxy. It had that feel, especially with the soundtrack, the 90s music.
Love.
We had a lot of Nirvana and Garbage all this. It was really cool. Which Ben wouldn't like any of that.
No.
But it also felt like Star Wars. So when they were actually in the scenes in space, the way it was all, the way the actual spacecraft moved and shot and everything, I literally was sitting there going, someone is actually going to ring up from Lucas and say, well, it's Disney now.
It's
and say,
Disney, yeah.
Yeah, and so, oh, they're, well, yeah, they're fine then. But yeah, they sue themselves. But it was very Star Wars at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to go back to the music, it's not that I didn't like the songs. I just thought it was too self-consciously 90s, you know, having whole Nirvana, TLC, and the worst bit was having No Doubt's Just a Girl.
Yeah.
It was too on the nose.
Yeah.
Come on, use
I
your brain.
It.
It's too on the nose.
I know, but again, I'm a sucker for that kind of thing.
And then
you know?
The last track was Hole.
Yeah.
Courtney Love.
Celebrity Skin.
Yeah.
And just, well, yeah.
I just thought the film generally lacked spectacle to me. There weren't any memorable action set pieces. I just didn't care about the. I've forgotten them already, really. I know, Mark, you've just come out of the cinema, so it's different for you. But a week and a half later, I can't really remember any of the action sequences because they just weren't well put together or interesting.
That's fair, I suppose. I still am just thinking right now about the cat.
Yes!
So as we know, Gemma lost her cat for 2 months.
I did.
And it was a very sad time.
Yeah.
And now we know where her cat went. So it's been in Hollywood,
I know,
fucking filming the latest Marvel film.
He's got a trailer in the garden. He has, like,
has he changed now?
Oh, massively. He doesn't drink his water out of until it's like a gold-plated bowl now.
Oh, he's gone Hollywood on
he
us.
He has, yeah. He wears sunglasses indoors.
Oh, what?
Jesus.
Does he demand certain fruits and stuff
all the time?
Like
that?
Frappuccinos and that.
He's got a contract he gave to us. He won't eat melon. Just I don't
bloody
know.
Hell.
Oh, wanker.
But anyway, I like the cat. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Really well
awesome.
Done. And I love the fact that he like had this like alien sort of
like
tongue.
Tentacle mouth.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
That was that. I didn't know where that was coming from. I was like, fucking hell.
What, the flurkins?
Yeah, that's horrible. Absolutely
it was like,
horrible.
It reminded me of when Groot went completely skits for the first time. But
that's why I felt the Guardians bit was quite... Yeah.
But on that tack, though, doesn't it feel to you that they've kind of cribbed good bits from other Marvel films and tried to repurpose them for this?
Yeah.
So that
perhaps,
bit, as you say, is very,
perhaps,
very
yeah.
Groot. And the moment of Carol unleashing her powers was very Thor. It's all kind of like, let's take other bits and try and make a film out of it.
I'd be foolish to say, no, it's a merit on its own.
It must
yes,
be difficult,
absolutely.
Though. 22 films, whatever it is now, they must be running out of fresh ideas to be that first Guardians or to be that. No, there's nothing in Captain Marvel go, God, that was so unique. And God, that's trying to be like Captain Marvel. You'll never say that.
No.
Yeah.
The one other thing in the film that I really didn't like is when she's flying through space and she's got her helmet on and she's got that tuft of hair sticking out the top of the helmet. That's goofy as fuck.
The mohawk.
I really hope they never do that again. Just show her face with her hair blowing in the breeze. Don't put that goofy helmet on her.
Looking like a badass. Mm-hmm.
I liked her in the plane like a Top Gun with the hand
sign.
That was cool. And she looked great in those overalls.
Did.
Oh, she looked wicked. She's like a female Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the tribute to Stan Lee.
Oh.
I loved, at the start of the film, the usual Marvel Studios logo that comes up and shows all these flashes of different Marvel characters. They were all replaced with the different Stan Lee cameos. I thought that was
absolutely
brilliant.
I wasn't ready for that. I was like, oh my God, someone should have told me.
Everybody clapped in our auditorium.
And then said, for Stan. I was
it
like,
did,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, it's just started.
Film hasn't even started. I'm done.
And what did you think to his cameo in this one,
Mark?
I thought of you instantly.
Yeah, amazing. The fact he's practicing his lines for Morat with the script. And Kevin Smith, obviously, is one of my idols. I know you two don't love him as much. But when you think of how much he's worked with Stanley and they were good, close friends, that's a real nice tribute.
Yeah.
And you know Kevin Smith would have been absolutely made up by that.
I'd like to think that they didn't tell Smith in advance.
Oh,
and he didn't know about
went to the cinema.
Saw it. That'd
be
brilliant, wouldn't it?
So, so good. But no, it's sad that that's it now. We're never going to see another cameo, are we?
I think there's two or three films where he has done cameos, so we should be okay for about another two or three.
Oh, right. So they're already filmed.
They're already filmed,
yeah, it's sad.
Here's my little future prediction for you. So in this film, Captain Marvel's best friend is a woman named something Rambo.
Maria Rambo.
Yeah. And her daughter is Monica Rambo. And this kid, she's sort of 11 in the film. Now, Monica Rambo in the comics actually becomes Captain Marvel at some point.
Ooh.
She also takes on various other names like Photon and stuff. So in this film, set in, what, 1995, she's about 11. So now, in the current day, she'd be about 35. So I would guarantee that they're going to cast an adult version of Monica Rambeau to be in the next phase of the MCU.
Ooh, interesting.
Mark,
you heard
my
it
words.
Here first. Yeah. Skip to the end.
And it'd be a good thing as well because, you know, they're trying to get more female characters in, and the fact that she's female and black as well, so you're getting more diversity in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
I'm
so
here
it's all
for
good.
It.
That's what we're here for.
Definitely, definitely.
I love when Mark tries to pretend he gives a shit about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I stand with everyone.
Yeah, girl power. You never said girl
power,
did you? You said girl power. I said girl power.
I'm amazed there wasn't a Spice Girls track in this film, actually.
No, fucking
that's a shame.
No, what?
Because it's the ultimate 90s, isn't it? You might as well stick Blur, Oasis.
No. When you got like Shirley Manson, Gwen Stefani, nah.
Yeah. I like Nirvana. I was like, wow.
I know, I didn't expect that.
Bit out of context, but fuck it worked.
Never mind.
Shall we score it?
Yeah.
Okay, Gemma, I'm going to go to you first.
Okay. I'm ready for Endgame. I'm happy with Captain Marvel. It's 8 out of 10 for me.
Ooh, Mark, what are you giving it?
I've just come out of the cinema and I need to be grounded more. I normally go, oh, it's a 10, but it's not. It's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fair. And then I think I want to watch it again. That's the thing
definitely.
As well, which I might do just before the next one.
For me, I thought it was a colossal disappointment. A great lead role and a couple of good supporting roles, but the film just didn't rise to the level it should have. It's a 6 for me, which let's say, fuck it, let's give it an overall, skip to the end, 7 out of 10.
It's competition time, everybody out there. Yes! It's that time of the show where we announce the winners of our previous competition, but also give away some great, great prizes this time round. But before we get into that, we've actually had some presents come through this week.
No way!
Yes, what we got?
Our good friends Mike and Lorna have been to the cinema and got me and Ben a Captain Marvel limited print, which they thought we'd really like. So that's pretty sweet.
Why didn't they get Gemma one?
Well, what they've said is, they've said here, keep doing what you're doing. Gemma's present is on the way. Now, I need to word this right so it doesn't sound inappropriate.
Gemma, how can you do that, Mark?
They bought you some toys for your pussy.
Oh my god.
Should we explain what you mean by that, Mark?
Please do. So very quickly.
So basically, Gemma, as we know, her cat went missing and they bought some presents. So there's some nice toys in there for when you were laying with your pussy. So there we go.
Cat, pussy,
I hope
cat.
You enjoy that.
This elusive cat, didn't it turn up back at your home when you were in New York?
Yes, it did.
The day you left.
The day I left. We had our mate look after our house just in case he came back. And as soon as we went to the passport control, there he was home.
Wow.
Thank you so much, guys, really appreciate this.
Also, there's a new film out which I'm not going to blatantly advertise on the podcast just because you send us stuff, called Snake Out of Compton, right? Which is out on DVD and Blu-ray. We are not going to advertise stuff. We don't do that on the podcast.
Oh, never. No,
we don't do this.
Never. But when you open it, we got loads of sweets.
Oh shit.
Oh my god.
So we've Holy got nerds, fun dips,
gobstoppers,
Laffy Taffies. If you do want us to promote stuff,
oh my god,
send us, look, sweet tarts, gobstoppers.
There's jokes
runts.
On every wrapper.
So yeah, I'm well looking forward to Snake Out of Compton.
It's going to be the best one we've ever seen, I guarantee.
That's Snake Out of Compton.
There we go, got some nice sweets. And also another present. So Mark, Ben and Gemma, I saw this while browsing on eBay and thought maybe you'd like to have it each week to play for with the quizzes, from our good friend Damien.
Oh yeah?
Okay.
He's got us a wrestling belt.
Oh my god, that's so cool!
Oh, brilliant.
Each time round, when we win the competitions, which we won't do on the photo this week, because that'll give it away for spoilers when we say episode recorded. But
can
look
we?
At that.
Well, that's
amazing. Yes, we can.
So, did I win the last quiz?
You did.
So you can have it on this photo.
I'm the current champ. That's going over my shoulder.
Yeah, you can have it.
Yes!
Look at that. You can have it for the photo this time because you are the current champ.
Oh my god, that's
I feel like
so cool.
Ric Flair.
That is amazing.
Woo, woo.
Look at that. Yeah. That's the sort of stuff you want to be sent.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Amazing. Damien, we love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, so good.
Look
at that. I like the idea that we can like have it as well, so the next champ will be passed over. Watching Ben have to pass that
over if he
is not victorious.
Oh, yeah. Time and time again.
Don't assume I'm going to lose.
Do you want some sweets while we do this? All our teeth are going to rot out.
Mm.
Oh, should we give some shit away as well?
Probably should.
So on the last episode, our rewatch was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is an awesome film. Do you agree? Absolutely excellent. And a big response online to that. A lot of people were jumping on board and watching it with us.
Sherry.
Our good friends Last Exit to Nowhere came along and gave us a Wild Stallions tortie, which me and Ben actually own.
We do.
Which is really cool. And the question we put out there was, who plays Bill in the film? So, Ben?
Alex Winter.
It's true. And Stephen Ferns on Twitter will be winning that. And that's a great t-shirt.
Yeah.
Also, they've got a brand new Thing t-shirt, which we always want.
Oh,
you know, anything to any
always.
Excuse. And the question we put out there was, who directed The Thing?
John Carpenter.
It's true. And at that Grinch lad will be getting that in the post. They don't make them easy, these names. Next, if you want to win a competition, just enter if your name's like at John. John won.
Doug.
Done. Richard Sounds came along and gave us a Sennheiser set of headphones. They're Bluetooth headphones, which are HD440BT, which are beautiful.
Lovely.
This response was huge online. The worst album of all time, which is insane. I'll tell you what came through more than any other album. I know Ben normally does a bit of like analysis and does stats and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't count, but I saw it more than anything else.
Right.
Was Metallica and Lulu.
What?
It's a terrible album.
I've never heard it. I've never listened.
Yes, you have, because we used to talk about it at work. It's the album they did with the dead fella.
What's
his name? Lou Reed. It was the album they did with Lou Reed.
Sorry.
It was abysmal.
Yes. I thought it was just a whole album of them two.
No, it's not Metallica and Lulu, the scouse singer.
I literally thought it was like Shout.
Yeah. That came through more than anything else. And people, I'm quite offended, were saying Angelic to the Core.
How dare
what?
They?
I was quite offended by that. They're blocked, don't worry.
Thank
they
don't you, have thank to you. Do.
But the winner is Ian Hawkes, who said Nickelback. So we'll let him have
never
that.
Never a truer word said.
We also had some WWE Funko Pops, because we did Fighting With My Family as our main review, which I want to watch that again. I'll tell you about it. Good. Have you watched the original? It's on All Four, so you can watch the actual documentary about Paige.
Oh, not yet, but I'm going to
get on it. We had a Vince pop, a Triple H pop. We had loads of pops. We had Million Dollar Man. Oh, we had Asuka. Really, really cool. And the winner's Ben. No, as we said, who's your all-time favourite WWE wrestler? And we're going to pick Leon Matters, who said CM Punk, best in the world.
Good choice.
Who's yours, Gemma?
Oh, God. I loved Jeff Hardy.
Yeah?
Because
wow.
That's
a great choice.
I was sort of like the late 90s kind of wrestling fan, so yeah.
That's a great one. Ben?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Has to be.
That's amazing. Mine is probably CM Punk, but I do really like Funkasaurus Brodus Clay. He is outstanding.
What about Big Red?
Oh, the thing is, he's now in his comeback, which he deserves.
Yeah.
So he's like a Hall of Famer for me. He just goes without saying. And we also want to recognise people that give us iTunes ratings. We had a Del Toro and a Hitchcock pop, which are really cool from the director series. They're not easy to get either.
No.
They are to get, they are. Archie with three E's at the end. Archie has said, I've never ever skipped to the end.
Good.
Why would you? 5 stars all day, every day, always and forever.
Aww.
So I like that.
That's cute.
Let's give away some awesome stuff. You're not getting these prizes that we've got this week. I want these sweets, you know what I mean? These are like the old school, proper Willy Wonka.
I'm ready to tuck into those nerds.
Coming up soon, we have a rewatch of The Lost Boys. So Last Exit have come along and give us a Frog's Comic Tea, which is really, really smart. Mm-hmm. Let's say Edgar Frog is played by who? Really easy. Really, really easy. And also, soon we're going to be mass debating over Terry Gilliam.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And one of their films is Brazil, which is supposed to be a very good film.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a Ministry of Information tea. So let's say, who directed Brazil?
Ooh,
really,
that's hard.
Who
really
could it be?
Difficult. We've also got from Funko a whole full set of Lost Boys pops. So let's say, who directed Lost Boys? Now we're getting serious. This prize is big. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Disney have given us a Captain Marvel pop signed by Brie Larson.
Oh.
Holy shit.
That's pretty damn
bitch.
Good. That's good. Let's say Nick Fury is played by which actor? Mm-hmm. That's okay. Really good. And I like recognising these people that leave iTunes ratings. So this time round, we're going to offer a Pennywise Fi exclusive It Pop. Really
cool.
Rare.
Excellent.
Really cool. And what we'll do, we'll come back in 2 weeks and announce the winner of all these amazing competitions.
It's now time for Movie Masturbate, the section of the show where we pick a name out of a pot of directors and we talk about our favourite film from that particular person. So on the last episode, we picked out Terry Gilliam, the crazy, crazy mind of Terry Gilliam. And we're going to talk about our favourite film from this person. Ben, what's your fave?
Oh, it has to be Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Me too.
Me free.
Yes!
So it is, of course, Gilliam's surrealist masterpiece based on Hunter S. Thompson's autobiographic book of the same name. The film and the book tell of a drug and booze-filled road trip taken by Thompson under his alter ego of Raoul Duke alongside his lawyer and confidant, Dr. Gonzo. The direction of the film is exemplary, and at times it feels like a hallucination, or more appropriately, a long drug trip.
Oh, yeah.
As we watch Duke and Gonzo binge on peyote and mezcal and anything else they can get their hands on. It's a visual feast, isn't it, this film?
Massively.
Think of things like the colours melting into one another, or the carpets moving underfoot when they're on drug trips, the walls closing in, or lizard men appearing.
The random lizard
men. And hanging out in casino lounges. Let's talk about the visuals for a minute. Let's treat this like we would a review, seeing as
cool.
We've all gone.
Yeah.
What about
score
that?
Yeah.
What do we think of that as a visual feast?
Oh, God almighty. It's like going to a buffet of American sweets that are sent to you by Snake out of Compton. You just don't know where you're going to start. But what I also love about this film is the different use of camera angles. Sometimes they'll put it on a Dutch angle. Sometimes they'll be really close up on particular characters. And It makes you kind of feel a bit uncomfortable. But again, you see like the little sweats of bead on Johnny Depp's face, or like the frantic eye movements of Benicio del Toro. It is a visual buffet.
Wow.
Mm.
Do you want to know a fact about this film? I bet
always.
You know. Neither of you know.
Go on.
It was officially the last good film from Johnny Depp.
No way.
Yeah. That is official.
That is
it,
actually official.
That's on his CV.
I think it's visually perfection. I don't think you'll see anything else like it. It's like you're on drugs yourself without taking them.
Yeah.
The way they do it isn't over the top either. It's not like, it is over the top, but it's not as in like a comical way where you're sitting there going, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
like an Austin Powers scene where he's like, ooh, wavy baby. That's exactly how he talks.
Yep.
Groovy, wavy, baby. Wavy, baby.
That's so we don't get the lawyers on
fuck
us.
Groovy, wavy, baby. Fucking hell, but yeah, gravy, baby. But yeah, what I want to say is, it's like, have we done it as a rewatch? We have,
haven't
we?
You guys did a long time ago.
Yeah, insane. Absolutely off your head. Imagine watching it on drugs.
I know, yeah, imagine.
Imagine.
I'd never do that, though.
Never.
Drugs are bad, okay? The soundtrack complements the visuals as well, because it has a lot of trippy 60s psychedelic rock like Jefferson Airplane.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a sensory overload, the visuals and the music, and it just really puts you into that mind frame that the lead characters have.
Yeah, it also has some, like, you know, sort of classic Vegas-esque kind of show tunes on there too. So it mars the everyday sort of normality, what you would expect going into Vegas, against this kind of 70s psychedelic kind of backdrop. It's just, it's marvellous.
It's fucking insane.
Yes.
Yeah. It's twisted.
You got people on uppers, downers, candy corns, all sorts.
It does put you in the mind of a junkie, and you're sat there going, like, you're watching this shell of a man who's smoking all the way through. I don't think takes a cigarette out of his mouth the whole way through. He's inhaling drugs. He's absolutely insane. One of the best scenes for me is when he goes to the conference and he's there taking a lot of coke throughout the seminar. It's about substance abuse as well, which is iconic. Yeah. But him and Del Toro together, they should do more. They're wicked.
They were brilliant together.
They were so good.
It is career best work from Johnny Depp, I would say, as Duke. And to get into the role, he spent a lot of time with Hunter S. Thompson to perfect his mannerisms and his ways of speech. So they became genuinely very, very close friends.
The way how he plays it is like a lizard itself. You know, it's very kind of constantly looking left and right, you know, really frantically. But then you've got Benicio Del Toro as Dr. Gonzo. He's kind of like a volcano.
Yeah.
He'll erupt at any moment and you don't know what way he's going to go. He's so unpredictable.
He is. He's enigmatic and impulsive.
Yeah.
I love that scene of him when he wants Depp to throw the is it the record player? He wants him to throw it in the bath at a certain point when the song peaks, so he'll get kind of electric shock. Lunatic.
You're a big fan of the writer, aren't you, himself, Mr. Thompson?
Hunter S. Thompson, I think he's amazing. I've got every book.
I was going to say you're obsessed. You've got the whole lot.
Love him, yeah.
Oh, hasn't he got like stuff over, a lot of his diaries have been published that you can just read,
willy-nilly.
I want to read them, because I bet they're fucking mad.
Oh, The Rum Diaries is awesome.
That's a great book, yeah. He was a genius. He was a genius. Yeah.
I miss him.
Me too.
See how we try to sound sincere?
We're not good at it, are we? No, it always sounds like there's going to be a joke.
Yeah, I miss him. Shame.
But like pretty much every Terry Gilliam movie, it divided the critics and bombed at the box office.
Yeah.
He's very much a Marmite director. I don't think there's such a thing as a casual Terry Gilliam fan.
Never.
You either like his films or you don't give a shit. You know, going to sort of be like, hey, he's all right. You tend to have pretty strong feelings about him. I think you kind of have to be on his wavelength because he's a fucking weird dude.
Just a bit. Yeah.
Good job we all are.
Uh-huh. When I was reading as well on IMDb, all of his things, he's never done anything that's like another film.
Yeah.
He's completely all over the shop.
It's all individual.
Yeah, I'm interested what social media came with because there's just so much.
Indeed, and we'll get to see some of those films that you just mentioned there. On Instagram, Stu Reed, aka chronicle.art.81. He agrees with us. He said Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, so many quotable lines, a great cast, and a belting soundtrack.
Perfect.
On Twitter, Boba Crumb at jholland15 has said Time Bandits.
Aww.
Nice.
He said he watched it loads as a kid and it blew his mind.
Did you read the news this week about that being remade?
Yes.
Is it going to be a TV show?
Something like that, yeah. And who's behind it?
Can't remember.
Forgotten.
The guy that did the latest Thor film.
Oh, Taika Waititi.
I can't pronounce his name, so there we go.
Amazing.
Yeah, should be great.
Erica Bean on Facebook has said The Fisher King, Robin Williams and Jeff Bridges at their best, and it strikes a fine balance between Gilliam's signature weirdness and approachable cinema.
It's annoying that I've not seen that when those two are in it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Sounds incredible.
I've not seen it in for donkey's years, but I do remember it being charming and effervescent.
I think it is his most traditional film.
Yes.
It's got the least wackiness out of any of Gilliam's films. On Twitter, Justin M. Strawn, at Justin M. Strawn, has said, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's one of the most entertaining movies I've ever watched.
Mm.
Brilliant film.
Incredibly. Oh, yeah, one of your favourites?
No, it's Life of Brian's one of my favourites.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Holy Grail is good, though.
Yeah.
On Instagram, Andrew Rilano, a.k.a. TheGulo13, has said, Brazil is a weird, strange trip that has a fun plot twist. That film is bonkers.
It's
never seen
unreal.
It.
You've got to get on it, man.
I know, but
mental.
It's long, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
it is quite long.
Come on, just think of it like early on when you said those books were in bite-sized. Just do it in bite-sized chunks.
Yeah,
you can
10
do
minutes
it.
A day.
You got it.
Yeah.
But it is a fantastic film. And then finally on Twitter, Daryl at DPC78 has said, 12 Monkeys by a Mile.
Ah.
That's a great film. That's Bruce Willis, isn't it?
Bruce Willis, Brad Pitt.
Madeline Stein.
I haven't seen that for years.
So good.
Yeah,
it was a very close call between Fear and Loathing and 12 Monkeys.
That should be a rewatch.
Yeah,
absolutely. Very cool.
Would you like some utterly unscientific analysis?
Yes.
12 Monkeys pissed it.
Really?
Yeah. It had 50% more votes than the nearest contender, which was Holy Grail.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Not a lot of love for Fear and Loathing. Although all three of us had it, only a handful of people voted for it online.
What?
No love whatsoever for Jabberwocky. Which I was sure would get a few sort of nostalgia votes in the same way that Time Bandits did, but no, nothing.
Bloody hell.
And we also had a hell of a lot of votes for Life of Brian, which we couldn't accept because it was directed by the other Terry
from
Monty Python.
I saw people like arguing between themselves, and I was like, I'm not getting involved in this.
It was directed by Terry Jones, not Terry Gilliam, so we couldn't accept that one.
Never mind.
Right, it's time to pick another name out of the pot, and I believe it's my turn.
It is. Do you want a drum roll?
Yes, please. And on the next episode, we're going to be movie mass debating over Denis Villeneuve!
Yes!
You're a creature of the night, Michael. Just like out of a comic book. You're a vampire, Michael. My own brother, a goddamn shit-sucking vampire. Oh, you wait till Mom finds out, buddy. Criminal system.
It's now time for the rewatch, and it's a big 80s classic. That doesn't give too much away, but it's one that I've had on the back burner for quite a while, I think, but I just thought, when's the right time? Probably Halloween would have been better. Not mid-March, but fuck it.
Tying in with Captain Marvel.
Yes, I'm hoping most people have seen this film. I'm sure from the response on social media that most people have, I think. It is one of those 80s, like the Goonies and Gremlins films, also featuring Corey Feldman. Mm-hmm. The film tells the story of a new family that moved to a brand new town to start a new life. Two brothers...
new.
Yes. Two brothers, though, discover the area is a haven for vampires.
Oh, no!
Does all go to shit? Find out during our rewatch of The Lost Boys. Now, as you know, all those listeners in Listenerland, you know that me and Gemma here love horror.
Absolutely.
But I do want to throw this to Ben, because I don't think this is just horror, it's humour, it's got everything about it. But I'm not sure if you're going to dig it or you actually fucking hate it. Mm. Will this be Ben's last episode? Let's throw it to him.
I feel rather like the turd in the punch bowl today. It's not my cup of tea, if I'm honest.
No?
No. With the exception of Blade, I don't think I've ever liked a vampire movie. I just don't find vampires to be dramatically compelling characters, especially the young, good-looking vampires that this film was partially responsible for popularising. Not for me.
Find out on the next episode who's replacing Ben. Gemma.
Oh, it's a good bit of 80s fun that I never seem to tire of, is it? So if you were to list any essential 80s film, this would always make the list. And it's cool, it's scary, it's funny, it's kind of sexy in a weird way. But it always still makes me double check whether I'm eating noodles or worms.
Mm. Nice. I think this film's a true masterpiece. And genuinely,
it's
absolutely brilliant. One of the best soundtracks, one of the best looking films, and it doesn't look too dated. Again, because we've mentioned today, practical effects. It makes everything so good. But it's just a great story. It's great fun, and I love it from start to finish. It's fucking a great ride of a film. It's brilliant. I loved it.
I just think it really struggles with tone. It doesn't know if it wants to be a horror or an angsty teen drama or a kids' comedy adventure film.
Yeah,
pick
but
a
that's
lane.
Fine.
Pick
I'm happy with that.
Pick a fucking lane.
That's fine by me. The director, who's Schumacher, not Michael, the other one.
Joel. The other one.
The other one.
Christ.
Has Schumacher. Done some great films. And I think for do a vampire film of this scale, this well, and at the time, those actors weren't very well known. Kiefer Sutherland, people, this is not an eight film. Mm. I think casting those guys and getting such great performances, he was fucking mesmerising from the moment he comes on the screen. I fucking loved him.
I will agree with you on Kiefer Sutherland. He's very good, especially because he has very little dialogue.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a lot, but because he's so imposing, you feel the power of this character without him having to speak much.
Yeah, even let's think about one of the opening shots when they're first walking into the shop and there's this video rental shop and we see him walking in that coat, that big like sort of Mac, and he's with his guy, not Mac and me like, but his actual coat, and he walks in, like you said, the presence he has, it's just the stare he gives. You knew at that point he's going to be a star. Some of those other guys didn't have the best careers.
Alex Winter.
Yep, that's true.
I'd forgotten he was in it.
Yeah.
Corey Haim was fucking amazing.
Do you know what? It's a fucking shame what happened to that kid, because he was such an excellent young actor.
Fucking amazing. In this, he's the whole focus.
He's so charismatic.
He's amazing. I fucking love him.
Yeah, I mean, as a young girl, when I used to be one of those, I had a major crush on Corey Haim.
Yeah.
He was so cute and he was so charming and just like he had this kind of exuberance that exuded from the screen, and you wanted to kind of be his mate. You wanted to fight vampires with him. It really is a shame.
Yeah.
And the one and only Corey Feldman. Say what you want, but he was actually great in this film.
He really makes me laugh because he puts on this really weird deep voice. It's like he's doing a really bad Stallone impression all the way through. It's very funny.
But he had it consistent, though.
Yeah.
He didn't drop it, but did you not actually genuinely think he was quite good as the Frog Brothers?
I always think he's good. You know, we make all these jokes about Corey, obviously, but back in the day, as a young actor, he was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he was in a lot of these big 80s movies.
Yeah, and remember, him and his brother, they didn't care. They were out to, like, slash a vampire. They were going to take names and kick ass, which they did.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that they don't care. They're here to, like, fuck shit up.
Fucking
exactly
Gemma,
their job.
Only dogs can hear you. Lower the octave.
But yes, I love those two, and I love the way that they're working in the shop, being all cool, playing it safe, but they know what's going on. If you need anything, you go to these two.
Yeah.
They got it locked down.
And the comic, that was awesome.
Oh, that was good. I'll tell you the thing that did my fucking head in. So the main character, played by Jason Patrick, is called Michael.
Yeah.
I was sick of hearing his fucking name.
Michael.
Let's play a game, Michael. It's my middle name, but I'm going to get my fucking name changed by Deepole because I'm sick of it.
I always think of Joe from Arrested Development just going, Michael.
Yeah, it is a lot. How's the noodles, Michael? Yeah. Wanted some meat, Michael? Come across the bridge, Michael. Hold on to the bridge, Michael. Don't let go, Michael.
You're eating worms, Michael. Michael.
It's infuriating.
Do you like him, though, as an actor? I thought
Jason
he was good.
Jason Patrick, he's all right, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I'm not letting Ben piss on this too early. We're only 5 minutes in. What do you like about the film? The soundtrack, come on.
The soundtrack's pretty good. I'm always a sucker for an 80s film, 80s soundtrack, so that is very good, no doubt. There's that. I don't know what the song is. I'm sure one of you guys do, but it's the song that starts the film, and it comes back into the film three or four times throughout it. That's very good.
That's very
Marilyn
cool.
Manson's covered that.
Has he?
Yeah, it's not
I'll
a bad little version.
That,
yeah, it's very good. And what about the music playing while the sax is playing
on
the beach?
Best so scene stupid. Ever. You know what? There was a meeting of all of these executives going, right, okay, we've got this film. We've got to get our scenes sorted. What are we going to do? I think the key piece here is get a greased up, muscle Mary guy with a saxophone covered in chains with a big old limp ponytail. That is gold.
It's amusing to me that that's about the most famous thing from the film. Now, that's the thing that gets memed
all the time.
I still believe!
It's a great tune. Honestly, I've been listening to the soundtrack trying to decide what songs to put on this episode
all
week. And that song stays with you, honestly. And if you're at work and you take your shirt off and you rub Vaseline all over your own nipples and chest.
We've all been there.
And you pull out the sax. Don't fucking put me on a disciplinary. I'm doing it for the rewatch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's fucking dedication.
Right. I must admit that for all that I don't particularly care for the film, I did enjoy the last half an hour. That's the kids banding together to take down the vampires. It had that classic 80s adventure movie feel, like The Goonies.
Yeah.
It had that feel. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, death by stereo.
And one of the best characters, I think, is Grandpa. He is awesome. Every time he pops up and when he's going on a date and uses that kind of, that like, is it soapy stuff that you clean dishes with? Aftershave. He's just a cool guy.
I aspire to be that level of not give a shit when I'm older.
I want to be like that when I'm 50.
I like that he had a little drawer in the freezer that was just his stuff. It was his beers.
Yeah. That would be you.
Yeah,
get off, Mark. Yeah. Get off.
Also, can we agree that Diane Weiss is one of the worst mothers of all time? Like, bloody hell. I've got a blanket that I've had for about 5 years that's probably taking better care of me than this woman. She's all over the shop. She's literally the equivalent of a wet lettuce.
But it's been a while since she's been asked out for dinner, so you've got to respect that.
Yeah, but still, I mean, come on, woman. Woman up, mate, you know?
I do like that the twist ending of Max being the vampire. I did like that. I thought that was pretty great. Although it is telegraphed earlier in the film. When he first arrives at their house, he won't walk in unless he invites him in. Which is a classic vampire thing, isn't it? You're not allowed unless you invite him.
Vampire 101.
Exactly. So that, I like that. That it was only after the ending that I went, oh shit, that makes sense now.
Yeah, but she still went on a date with him after his dog attacked her. Like, literally took a chunk out of her pants. And she's like, oh my God, yeah, okay, let's go out.
That dog was a prick.
Dog was a massive jerk.
Yeah.
Vicious.
Dick. Dick dog.
We're not ending it now. We're only 7 minutes in. What about the actual scenery and the setting? Because I think an amusement park is ideal. Look at Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feel you want. If you want a good film set in the 80s, pick a theme park. Because I think it looks amazing. I want to be on the rides. I like all the shots of David. And him,
David,
my baby David. But no, on the actual waltzes and stuff, those sort of shots are great. That's what I think of an 80s film. Think of Big, you know, all that. That's what you want.
I suppose it's like adolescence, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's that clinging onto your childhood and, you know, dreams and joy. And then you've got these
vampires come and mess shit up, really.
And the abandoned cave looks awesome. It looks beautiful.
Like a massive poster of like Jim Morrison.
That looked really cool.
It did.
Joel Schumacher, he's such a hit and miss director. I think the direction of this film is very good.
Yeah.
And then you look at other films he's done, like Falling Down.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. But then he also did Batman and Robin.
Let's not talk about that.
What did he do? Is he obviously not working now, is he really?
He is, I believe,
is he?
Yeah.
Oh, bloody. I've not seen his name in anything.
Yeah, no. I couldn't tell you what his last film was, but I think he's still going.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ. Something involving like cars going really fast and crashing into each other.
Probably.
I like the names though. I think if I have a daughter, I might call her Star. I like that. Mm. That's cool.
That's one of my hang-ups about this film.
What?
The woman who plays Star, I think her name's Jamie Gertz. Uh-huh. She's awful.
Yeah, not a great
She's
actress.
Not great. That's my one hang-up about this film. I'm not a fan of her. So when her and Jason Patrick...
Michael!
When they get together, I'm like, I don't really care for it.
Yeah, I'd have picked Sutherland over Michael.
Yes, I would have. Man alive, can you imagine?
Here's something about Jamie Gertz. 2 years after this film came out, she married a billionaire. And her billionaire husband owned the Milwaukee Brewers baseball team and the Atlanta Hawks basketball team.
What?
Jesus Christ. Yeah. So she's been the most successful since.
Yeah.
That's mental.
She's awful in this.
Bloody hell. They've had good careers, though. When you think of Kiefer Sutherland now, he's nailed it.
He's Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was his comeback, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was in the wilderness for a decade. I think it was drugs and drink and that sort of thing. So he just didn't get any roles from the late 80s through the 90s. Yeah. But yeah, Jack Bauer really brought him back.
And Corey.
Corey, yeah.
Corey's done well.
Corey's been working solidly for years, let's not say a bad word.
He's been working on music. Like, not many actors go off and have a music career and still do stuff like Lost Boys 3.
Yeah.
That's passion and commitment.
That's pretty good.
Good for him.
Do you want to score it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. You're pissed all over this, and I love this film. Ben, go first. She's all over it. Come on. That's good though. He's rating this the same as Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. Gemma.
I love it. It's solid. It's a nice 8 out of 10 for me.
Out of maths, I'm giving it 10 out of 10. It's absolutely awesome. I love it. Which overall gives a skip to the end rewatch of Lost Boys 8 out of 10.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right,
Ben, you've got to agree.
Yeah,
a 6, 8 and a 10.
It is.
It down the middle. Brilliant. Whose rewatch choice is it now?
It's mine.
Please be an 80s vampire film starring Corey Feldman.
So...
Yes, Lost Boys 2, the new batch.
You'll get your turn soon, Mark.
Yes.
Now, I bloody love an anniversary, and I love a particular film that celebrated its 40th anniversary not long ago. Guys, no one can hear you scream in space. The next rewatch is Alien!
Woo! Fucking hell!
It's time for the third and final round of alphabets. This is our brand new quiz that we're really loving, aren't we, guys?
I'm gutted it's over. Absolutely gutted.
Me too.
Should we do a round two? Like, just your second favourite film.
Yes, can we? Can we? Let's do it.
Keep going forever.
Let's do it.
For those of you...
All right, shut up. I'm trying to introduce this. For those of you who don't know how the game works, here it is. We've given our picks for our best films, beginning with every letter of the alphabet. And what we have to do here is guess what each other member of the team has picked for that particular letter. We've covered the first two-thirds of the alphabet, and this week we're going to be covering from S until Z. It's very straightforward. It's very simple. So you might think. If you get it right, you get a point. Yeah? You with me so far?
I'm totally with you.
Let's play along like we've not played two rounds.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But how about this? Let's say, for example, it's the letter A.
Yeah.
Right?
And I ask you guys, what's my favourite film with the letter A? And you both say Anchorman.
Yeah. Obviously.
But then it turns out that my favourite film beginning with the letter A is Air Bud.
Shut the front door.
Or Air Dog. That's
now,
pretty good.
Now you pair would get the point because you know me better than I know myself.
Fucking hell.
So by being wrong, you might very well end up being right.
My God, this is blowing my tiny mind.
Amazing.
So after two rounds, here are how the scores stand. Now last week, Gemma, you fucked up the scores.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But only a touch. You said that Mark had scored 15 when in fact he'd only scored 14.
Sorry, Mark.
It's all right.
You're still in the lead. The cumulative scores at the moment, Gemma and I are both on 23.
Okay.
And Mark, you are on 26.
What?
So there are plenty...
It's a lot of pressure.
Plenty of points to play for at this point.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Who will win the world heavyweight belt?
Oh, my God.
that we've been given by Damien tonight.
And remember, the photo that goes out on social media tonight, Ben will have the belt. That doesn't mean he's definitely won.
Exactly.
That's because he's current champ of the last game show, which I forgot what it was.
You realise, of course, Mark, no one will hear you say that until next week, so that doesn't help at all.
Oh, yeah. Love.
What was our last game show?
It was the character names?
I don't know.
Probably.
Fuck it.
Well, Ben pissed it, so.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get started.
Yes.
We're going to start with the letter S. So first of all, Marky Mark, what do you think I have for the letter S?
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
Interesting. Pooch, thoughts?
I was going to, but then I remembered your love for Studio Ghibli. I've gone Spirited Away.
Marky Mark gets the point.
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. Man. So that is a point for
what
Mark.
What a film.
Oh, yeah. What a film.
Well done.
Okay, guys, so what have I got for the letter S?
Ooh.
I, Mark, have gone for Shaun of the Dead.
Nice.
I went Spirited Away.
Ben is correct with Shaun of the Dead. One of my favourite films ever made.
Point for me.
Good.
Ben, you just want to get Spirited Away in
somehow.
I love
it. One of you fuckers is going to choose it.
I'm quite liking that Ben is scoring as well, so there's not going to be like next week. Yeah. Oh, by the way, since the last episode, you didn't win.
That's fine.
So,
right. So, guys, the letter S. What do you think I've got?
Probably the easiest one ever. The Shining.
Okay.
Ditto, The Shining.
Yeah, you know Mr. Will.
Yes.
So that's points for me and for Mark. And back around to me for the letter T. Mark, what have I got for the letter T?
This was difficult. I had a long think and thought about what is your favourite ever Marvel film, Thor.
Ooh. Gemma, what have you gone for?
Well, I didn't go that route. Instead, I went comedy and I put This Is Spinal Tap.
Good shout, but you're both wrong.
Oh, no.
It's True Grit.
Oh, you talk about it so many times.
I know. The Coen Brothers version. Yeah. So no points there, people.
That's okay.
So what did I get for the letter T?
It has to be The Thing.
Easiest one, The Thing.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's a point for Gemma and a point for me.
So T for me. What do you guys think?
I've gone with This Is Spinal Tap.
A ditto.
One, two, three.
Yes.
And Gemma, if you ever call me Benjamin again, we shall not talk. Because that is not my name and I don't answer to it.
Can you imagine the podcast with you two not talking to each other? That would be great. This is going too quick. Should we have a stop and the scores?
Let's
just double check then, because I was having a go at Gemma then. So let's make sure I got the scores right. So if I haven't fucked this up, which I may have, the points as they currently stand is, Gemma, you've only got one.
It's okay. It's a take apart the counts for me.
Mark has got three.
Okay.
And I've got four.
Oh my. Oh me, oh my. I think it's going to be between you two.
Well, yeah, you'd hope.
I'm just here to make the numbers up. It's fine. I've accepted
I don't want this to end.
No, let's not.
Oh, this is annoying. Audio on the letter U. I'm gutted. I'm actually gutted.
I literally had to check and go, hang on. You.
So, Mark, what have I got for you?
Unbreakable.
Ooh, Gemma.
Unforgiven.
You're both wrong. It's The Usual Suspect.
No! Oh, shit.
No points.
That's not good. Ass.
Nil point.
Oh, man. So what have I got for the letter U?
I went Unforgiven.
Nice.
I went Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck.
You cunts.
That's a point for Gemma. Yes.
My favourite ever point I've earned. Right, what do you think for me, for you?
I went for Untouchables.
Ooh.
I went Usual Suspects.
It's up.
Oh, no points.
Jesus.
No points.
I know.
Back around to
me,
then.
I feel like we know each other as well.
No, we
used to. We used to back in the day, but...
Yeah.
Oh, V, this is hard.
Wow.
So what do you think I've got for V?
I went for V for Vendetta.
Ooh, Gemma.
Count me in two, V for Vendetta.
You're both right, dude.
Yes! This is it.
Point
now we know we're on about.
Come on.
What have I got for the letter V?
I went with, this was tough, went with Vanilla Sky.
Nice.
I did think that, but then I thought, nah, it's V for Vendetta, mate.
It's Vanilla Sky.
Yes!
Wow, sis.
For Gemma, I went for the most random one.
Brilliant.
Virgin Suicides.
Oh. Weirdly enough, so did I.
Yes!
I put V for Vendetta, but I think
you guys
get the point.
Amazing.
Lovely
wow.
stuff.
Wow.
Wow.
Back around to me for W then. What have I got for W?
Oh.
This was the toughest letter.
This was one.
I've gone for Watchmen.
Ooh, Gemma.
Yeah, I'm copying Mark and I've also gone Watchmen.
You're both right.
Yes! This is going really well.
Don't know what that was, sorry.
What have I got for W?
Well,
there could be only one. Wayne's World.
Party on, Wayne.
It's true.
Yeah. Yes. That's a point for Jem and a point for me.
Okay. W for me. What do you guys think?
I went for Whiplash.
Oh.
Now, I went for the film that Gemma claimed she watched every day as a child, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I put What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, fuck. Fucking hell. Absolutely ridiculous.
Actually, on the way home from New York, I did watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Had to get my kickball turns in for the musical numbers.
Jesus, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Never mind.
What's the scores, George Dawes?
Okay, so if I've got them right, Gemma's on 5, Mark is on 6, and I'm on 7.
Oh my God.
We're round to the letter X. Now, this is fucking pure guesswork all through.
Same here.
What have I got for X?
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Ooh, Gemma.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Both right.
Yeah.
Well done.
Also, I watched the trailer today in the cinema for the new one that's coming out.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty good on the big screen. But I've got a bit lethargic with it now.
Yeah. Sophie Turner was at the Knicks game when I went to...
Was she really? Oh,
yeah. Where was that? In New York?
In New York.
I haven't mentioned that a lot.
She probably should have been at acting class. She ain't good. Yeah. And that film is going to suck ass.
Oh, massively.
I'll go and see it though, anyway.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I think we're reviewing it, dude.
Shit. Okay.
Right. Anyway,
so what have I got for the letter X?
Pure guesswork. I went X-Men 2.
I went X-Men Days of Future Past.
X-Men 2.
Yes!
Yeah.
That's
the best guess I've ever made.
It's the best fucking X-Men film out there by a mile. That opening scene of the White House is fucking amazing. Yeah. Right.
I'm so chuffed I got
that.
Well done.
It's a great one.
You deserve to win this, Ben.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
What do you think I've got for the letter X?
I went with X-Men Days of Future Past.
Okay, Ben.
Me too.
Yes.
Yes.
Point for Mark, point for Ben.
Why? Jesus.
What? Literally, why?
Yeah.
Why?
What do you think I have for the letter Y?
Oh, this was tough.
I went with, and it's the most random thing, young adult.
Ooh, interesting. Oh. Gemma.
I went for Y Tu Mamá También.
Oh, good shout. Mark's right.
Oh. Yes!
Well done, Mark. It is young adult.
Oh, God. That's Charlize Theron, right?
Yeah,
it's a good
great
film.
Great film.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Need to get on that.
What have I got for the letter Y?
I've had to go for You Were Never Really Here.
Oh, that's shit, I should have had that.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck, that's annoying.
I mean,
Ben, you're not alone. I got You Were Never Really Here.
Good, because we get the points.
Yay!
Young Frankenstein.
Fuck off. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I used to watch it when I was stoned and watch his eyes.
Oh, big right. Old bullshit.
But you got the points, so why are you moaning?
Gemma and I got the points. Lovely stuff.
So for Gemma.
Yeah, for why, for me.
Youth in Revolt.
Great
Ooh,
film.
See, that was my original pick, but I changed it to You Were Never Really Here.
Ben gets the points.
Yes!
Shit.
But I love Youth in Revolt, but not as much as You Were Never Really Here.
Final letter,
oh my
peeps.
God.
Final letter.
Oh my God, this has been such a good game.
I know, it's got to come to an end
to
eventually. So,
Ben.
The letter Z.
What do you think I have for the Z?
Zombieland.
Ooh, interesting. Gemma.
I went Zodiac.
Zemma's right. Zemma. Zemma is right. I've got Zodiac. It is indeed Zodiac. So Gemma gets the point.
Hooray.
Well done.
Thank you.
What do I have for the letter Z?
If it's not Zombieland, I'm flipping the fucking
Same
table.
Same. Hey, we'll do tag team. Zombieland.
You know it is.
Yes.
It
is. Point for Gemma, point for me.
And the very last one, what do you think I've gotten for the letter Z?
I'm hoping you're like me with Zombieland.
I've said the same thing.
Of course I am, Zombieland.
Yes! So Mark gets a point and I get a point. So do you want to know what the scores are for today's round?
Yes.
So Gemma, you've scored 9.
Aww.
Mark, you've scored 10. And I have scored 13.
Oh my God, what does this mean?
Which means the overall scores, Gemma, you are on 32.
Bringing up the rear.
Mark, you are on 36, and I am on 36.
No! Oh my God! Oh my God! This is too much. I'm gonna drop a table any second.
So if I have counted the scores up correctly, Mark and I are co-winners. So we need to share the belt.
Oh yeah, I'm up for that.
Bearing in mind, it is very possible that I've balls up the scores. So I will happily hold my hands up next episode if I'm wrong. But for now, Mark, we are joint winners.
I'll take
well
that.
Done.
Yes. Nice.
Done.
I love high five, it. High Wicked. Five. I can say I've won, kind of. I really hope you've ballsed it up.
I may well have. I think I might have given myself an extra point out of the blue for no reason.
Yeah. You may, deserve a point,
You
Fen.
May have won by 1 point, but I will do the count when we do the edit.
Okay, that's good. And we'll share the belt, that's fine with me. And what should we do? Come back in 2 weeks with a brand new game show, that one that we really definitely know about?
Yeah, 100% do that.
And it's way better than this one. Yeah. That was good fun.
Yeah. It was.
Cool. Come back in 2 weeks for a brand new one.
It's time for Skip to the Recommend, that point in the show where we bring you our pop culture recommendations of the week. It can be something old, it can be something new, but it's something we're enjoying right now, and we want you to enjoy it too. Simple as that.
Simple as chips.
Gemma, you've been away on the other side of the planet, pretty much.
Kinda.
Been experiencing life in different cultures.
I know, right?
So what have you got for us? What have you come back with? What is your recommendation this time?
I've come back with a film that I watched on the flight. It's not been released in the UK yet, but apparently it's going to be released at the end of April. It's a film called Eighth Grade.
Ah, yes.
So it's written and directed by American comedian Bo Burnham, who is fantastic, and it follows a painfully shy teenage girl called Kayla. She enjoys the last few weeks of an awkward year in eighth grade, where she'll eventually transition into high school. So she doesn't really say a lot when she's around her classmates or her supposed friends. She's very much a one-person kind of girl. She does YouTube videos to try and get her self-confidence out there, but nobody watches it. But there's so many elements about this film that makes it just so lovable, notably the star herself, Elsie Fisher, as Kayla. She is a star in the making. The only previous work that she's done is she did voice work for Despicable Me when she was 5 years old. But it's Bo Burnham's telling of this story. It's such an honest and such a heartfelt kind of story that it doesn't feel like it's someone trying to get in with the kids, you know, trying to say, oh, Facebook's the way to go. No. He actually taps into this generation of these kids and tells a story that really does feel like it genuinely happens. You know, it's funny, it's sad, it's sweet, it's quite fearful at times, but it's a film that it's going to keep you thinking for as long as the credits roll. I cannot recommend this enough. It's such a lovely organic film, and if you haven't seen any of Bo Burnham's work, please do, because the guy is painfully funny. Mm-hmm. Just a remarkable film, and it got horrifically overlooked at the Oscars.
Yeah.
It got a lot of independent kind of awards.
Yeah, I think it won a few at the Independent Spirits, and the girl, is it Elsie Fisher, you say? I think she, if memory serves, she presented an Oscar at the ceremony. But I think a lot of people, they were put out that it didn't get any nominations.
And I really feel that way now because she's absolutely wonderful. She presents Kayla as somebody that wants to speak, that wants to be herself. But because of the egos and the charisma and the personalities that she goes to school with, she finds herself in a box. Mm-hmm. So she can't really be her true self. And the film just has a beautiful message conveyed all throughout saying it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to speak yourself and just be that person that you want to be. It's a wonderful film.
Wow. And we got to wait when? About a month?
Allegedly, it's coming out at the end of April, so it's going to be round about Endgame time.
Yep.
But
well, that's going to get murdered at the cinema then.
Yeah. Are we going to review that or Endgame?
We'll see. Yeah. We'll toss a coin.
Imagine that.
But there are stories that it may be out on Amazon Prime the next month.
Ah, that's what I'll probably do then, so I can sit in my pants and watch it.
Sounds good. Not you in the pants. The film.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Jesus Christ.
Mark, what have you got?
Mine's a documentary. Ooh. I watched it this week. Everyone's been raving on about it, and I finally sat down and watched it. Free Solo.
I really want to see this.
My God, it's amazing. Absolutely awesome. I actually bought the Blu-ray because I wanted to see it in HD, and I just wanted to see how good it was. And everyone's been banging on about it, and I thought, I need to just watch it and buy it. I think it was £12, but it follows this guy called Alex, who's a free climber, and he wants to be the first to ever climb a 3,000 drop. It's absolutely insane. El Capitan, which I had to write down, wall.
Why did you need to write that down?
Because I would have gone El Capitaz or something else, but you know what I mean?
The Z is silent.
With no safety gear. Uh-huh. It's just him. Jeez. And it's mind-blowing. Like, I wouldn't even climb up these stairs without struggling, without gear. He is a bit of a weirdo, so they follow his life, and anyone that does this sort of stuff is going to be a bit odd, and he wouldn't take offence. I know he listens to the podcast, but he wouldn't expect anything else from someone that does this. His way of life is very unique. The way he eats, he doesn't eat any meat or anything, and he just has all these packets, and he's kind of like very infatuated with everything he does has to be in limit, and I'll only eat this amount of food, and everything seems quite... He's got lots of weird habits.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's got OCD.
A little bit. And the way he is the reason he lives is to do this. That's why he wakes up. He finds in this relationship a girlfriend, and she actually is quite understanding. Like, I'm just, you know, most people are like, I'm just off to work, babe, see you later. I'm just off to climb, I might die if I don't see you, my bank card's there. Every single day, his life is at risk. And this crew follow him. And these walls that he climbs and these mountains are massive, like absolutely astonishing. And that's why I bought the Blu-ray, because in HD, you see the scale, these long shots obviously, I'm sure you guys know it's a happy ending and he does climb it and he actually achieves it all. But the actual kind of cinematography and the filming of it while he's doing it will blow your mind. Like, you've seen nothing else like it. It's a bit like, you know, when we see those scenes of Tom Cruise in a film where he's climbing
and
you know
Impossible,
he's got all the wires. Yeah. Imagine that, but with no safety harness, no safety gear. You need to see this, guys. It's fucking awesome. You're on the edge of your seat the whole way through. It's about 2 hours, and I honestly swear to you guys, I didn't pick up my phone once to check Twitter,
fucking hell.
Facebook, Instagram, emails. You need to see it. It's so, so good. It's quite inspiring. It's quite powerful. It's inspirational. But you just need to see this guy, because you just wouldn't do it. No one in their right mind would do it.
Yeah.
But he did.
I do want to see this. It's very high on my list.
Yeah.
It won the best documentary at the Oscars. And the person who presented it was Jason Momoa. And you have never seen a more excited presenter. When he opened that envelope and read out Free Solo, he did, you know, he's woo!
Yeah.
He did that on stage.
Amazing.
So that's so cute.
But speaking of documentaries, I had a Netflix documentary blitz last weekend. I caught up on all the ones I've been meaning to watch. So I finally watched Wild Wild Country.
Yay.
Amazing.
Yes.
I watched Evil Genius.
Yes.
Amazing.
Nice.
I watched the Dirty John documentary. Oh. Brilliant. No, all these ones that I've had on a list for fucking ages.
Did you watch that one about the old bloke who wanked his mate off?
Abducted in plain sight.
No, that was the
fire. Abducted in plain sight.
Oh, yes, I did. I did watch that as well. Yeah,
fucking hell. Yeah. When there's voice audio recordings of the alien and stuff, what are you on about?
So I kind of understood the bit of the mum being seduced by this guy.
Yeah.
But why did the dad wank him off in a car?
Like, why not?
It's like, feeling a bit horny, you don't mind that. Yeah, sure, mate. Yeah, no worries.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I did watch that one as well. That was extraordinary.
That's bizarre.
So next time you're on a lift somewhere, you now know what you need to do. Fuck petrol money. It's now a...
I'll walk.
But check out Free Solo. I forgot it won the Oscar. There's me going, oh, you might have heard of it. Yeah, probably the biggest doc of the year, but it's fucking awesome.
Okay.
And then my pick this time round, it's Remembering Satan, which is a true crime book by Lawrence Wright. So in 1988, Paul Ingram was a well-respected sheriff's deputy in a small Washington town. His whole world was then turned upside down when his two daughters claimed that he'd been sexually abusing them for years. Amazingly, despite Ingram having no memory whatsoever of the abuse, he admitted guilt anyway, refusing to believe that his daughters would lie about such a thing.
Whoa.
He trusted his daughters so much that he said, I must be guilty, so I plead guilty. His daughter's story then became more and more extreme, with them eventually claiming that their father and a group of his friends had ritually abused the girls as part of a satanic cult who also sacrificed babies.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And Ingram, at the urging of his priest, started to uncover repressed memories and believe his own guilt and admit to taking part in these satanic ceremonies, despite a complete lack of evidence that such a thing ever happened. And I don't want to give away any more of the book because there are so many twists and turns and I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But the book, it's about the power of accusations, the unreliability of repressed memories, the corrupting power of religion, satanic panic, and the limits of psychology. It's an absolutely jaw-dropping read from the same guy who wrote Going Clear, the book about Scientology.
Oh, shit. Remember when I bought that? Yeah.
Remember when I bought the book in New York?
It wasn't
on sale in England at the time. Yeah. He's a fantastic writer, and it's a gripping, gripping story, and it just makes you angry.
Oh my God, I really want to read this.
Yeah, so that's Remembering Satan by Lawrence Wright.
Some really nice stuff this week. Sure.
Speaking about weird shit and documentaries and that, have any of you watched the Michael Jackson documentary yet?
Not yet. I have.
Hmm.
I watched it. It was on TV last week and I Sky Plus'd it. And it's just, I don't know what to think of it really. I'm kind of like, well, there's obviously something there, but I just, why now? And why did you want to go to Michael Jackson's funeral? And why were you, I've been watching too much on YouTube about it, but the one main guy, I think he's just done it for a paycheck.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I will get around to watching this.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm inclined to believe them. The stories they tell, it's so specific and graphic that it just feels too real to me. The thing is, though, this is going to make me sound like an arsehole. This might be the worst thing I've ever said. But the documentary is incredibly long. It's 4 hours across two parts.
Yeah.
And the first part of the first documentary, it's getting to know who these kids were before they met Jackson. And I'm sat there watching it thinking, just get to the abuse already.
Yeah.
Because
Get to the abuse already.
Because that's why I'm watching the documentary.
No, that's fair.
I don't give a fuck about their lives pre-Jackson. Mm. That's not the documentary I came for. You know what I mean? Should we get social media?
On
Twitter, Ray Cooper @Ray_Coops has said Game of Thrones. I've started to rewatch it ahead of the upcoming series and I'm loving every minute. And he also asks us, surely it's up there with the greatest shows of all time. What do we think?
Sopranos is better.
Hell yeah.
Sopranos is a lot better. I prefer Lost, which is a big shout.
Yeah. Lost is better. Breaking Bad is better.
Yes.
Mad Men is better.
But it's fucking great, and I can't wait for the final season.
Yeah, it's a great show. I don't think it'd make my top 10 show.
No, but it
is a great show.
No.
On Facebook, Gemma Lane has said, just watched The Lost City of Zed from 2017, an amazing film based on the true story of Percy Fawcett, who believed in a lost city in the Amazon. Charlie Hunnam did an amazing job depicting all stages of Percy's life.
Oh, I thought it was a Police Academy documentary about Zed. That would have been amazing. That would have been watch that. Fucking hell.
I must admit, I'm not the biggest fan of Charlie Hunnam. I find him a bit wooden sometimes, and his accents can be a little bit unnerving.
They're iffy, because he's a Geordie, I believe, in real life, and his American accents can waver. I'm a huge, huge fan of Sons of Anarchy, so I will always love him for being in Sons of Anarchy, but he's not the best actor on earth, that is true.
No.
Shame.
On Instagram, Matt Burgess, a.k.a. Oi, Matt Burgess, has said, New Japan Pro Wrestling's anniversary show. Will Ospreay versus Jay White was superb wrestling at its finest.
Wow.
I've not watched this yet. I need to get a hold of this.
Do you know they're coming to the UK soon?
I do,
We should go.
Yeah, big time. I love New Japan. Mike Donahue at Madman1891 has said the comic book story of professional wrestling. Great for hardcores as well as casuals. It's a fun look through the history of it all.
Nice.
I'm going to buy that for
sure. Yeah, 100%.
That sounds great. On Facebook, Philip Hand, Formula One, Drive to Survive. A great look behind the scenes at what goes into the sport, showing the highs and lows within the teams.
That's just been on Netflix, hasn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I bet Greg would love that.
Probably.
Yeah, he's a big Formula One fan, isn't he?
He likes it.
Not really my cup of tea, Formula One.
No. Yeah. I get bored.
I just want to see
the crashes afterwards.
I think he's more about NFL than NBA. Okay.
It's just Formula One, it's just the pit going around, it's just for fucking 4 hours.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, and then if you pay for a ticket, you only go and sit on that one bit. Yeah. So it's like, oh, great.
Here it comes.
Like, wow.
Worth every penny. Let's go.
53 laps of that.
Screw that. More power to the people who like it, though. Not for me.
Yeah.
On Instagram, Andrew Moores, a.k.a. Andrew_Moores, has said the assassination of Gianni Versace is very entertaining with some surprising moments that will really move you. Binged it all on Netflix during a duvet day.
Oh, I love a duvet day.
I bloody love a duvet day.
I think that
day.
Should be a recommendation, a duvet day.
It's the concept of a duvet day.
Count me in.
I haven't seen the assassination of Gianni Versace. It was by the same people who did the O.J. Simpson show from a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So it's meant to be very good. It's won a lot of awards, but I've not seen it.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I thought it'd be on your radar.
Yeah, I just don't give a shit about Gianni Versace as a person. His story doesn't matter to me.
No.
But it's meant to be very, very good.
There's not enough abuse in it for you.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't go that far. You will like this one, though, Mark. Matthew Schoaf at Matty the Ghost has said, Toe Jam and Earl back in the groove.
It is
a pretty damn good flashback to the Sega Genesis original.
So
this is a new Toe Jam and Earl game.
Jesus.
I think it's the first one for like 15 years or something, and it's out on the Switch and all sorts.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I think I'd play it now and be like, after 5 minutes, you're like, like when you buy the SNES Mini. Yeah. I would like it. But I'm not paying 20 quid for a game that will literally be 8-bit.
Yeah, and if you think it's 20 quid, mate, I don't know what world you're living in. It's more likely to be about 60.
Fucking hell.
On Facebook, David Knapp has said The Almighty Johnsons was a criminally underwatched show which has recently appeared on Amazon Prime. It's about reincarnated gods living in New Zealand and has a better Loki than Tom Hiddleston.
What?
That's big words.
Big words, yeah.
Big words.
I have to check that out to actually say if that's certified or not, because you don't say that.
No.
On
Twitter, John Paul Cunningham at JPC1984 has said The Carillion Frequency on Netflix.
Yes!
It's 6x10-minute animated sci-fi horror stories with a bit of an 80s vibe. So, Pooch, it sounds like you've seen it.
I've seen it. It's absolutely fantastic. It's kind of like a Mexican Sin City.
Ooh.
But it's wonderful. I love this so much, and I'm so glad somebody bought it.
Excellent. I shall check that out, Mark.
What's it called?
The Carillion Frequency.
Yeah. I'm writing it down.
Because you can watch it either with the sort of the original commentary that's on it, or you can listen to the dub version. But it's so creepy.
Mm. Have any of you guys, honestly going off topic, have any of you watched Death and Robot yet on Netflix?
Yeah, no. Yes. I watched one episode last night.
It's very short animations.
What the hell?
It's supposed to be mad. Like, people are saying it's amazing.
It's insane. Yeah. Like, I still don't know what I watched.
Yeah, they're very short animations, like 10-15 minutes.
10 minutes, max.
Are they the ones that are done by someone quite
David
famous?
Fincher,
that's it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good.
Bloody good director.
Bloody good animator. Does a cartoon a week. But no, it's supposed to be, I want to watch that because they're very short and they get great reviews.
It's bonkers.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Lovely stuff. And then finally, Paul Atwood, a.k.a. Pennywise_lives on Instagram, has said Afterlife on Netflix starring Ricky Gervais. Heart-wrenching, yet absolutely hilarious. Now, this was actually our most popular one this week. A lot of people who normally I would respect have said that this was their recommendation.
Have you both seen it? I'm
yes.
going to let Ben just have the mic now and expect a rage.
I thought it was fucking awful.
Yeah.
It's cloying, insipid, emotionally manipulative horseshit. It even had a hooker with a heart of gold, which is one of the oldest and most played out cliches in film and TV. I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't seen it, but all the stuff that happens with the drug dealer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That might be the worst thing I've seen on TV ever.
Wow.
It's absolutely fucking abysmal. He needs to stop trying to give everything heart or give everything a deep message and just write some fucking jokes.
Yeah.
It's abysmal. Absolute wank. Worse than Derek.
Wow.
Hated it. Now, Mark, I know you've seen it too.
I didn't hate it as much as that. Mm. And when I watched the first episode, I spat my drink out at one of the lines about the little young ginger, boy in the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought, he's hit it. He's hit gold here. Yeah. And then as the episodes went on, it got more and more. Here's a message about how you can turn your life around and accept death. And it was forced upon and forced upon. But I thought, there's only six episodes here. By episode five, I was ready to bin it off.
Yeah.
But I just needed to see it to then say I'd done it all. Didn't like it at all. And I'm now thinking Merchant, because I've watched extras all weekend. I watched the whole lot yesterday.
Yeah.
Them two should just, whatever's happened, just sort it out and fucking make some more comedy like The Office and Extras, because that was gold. Mm. And this is, everyone's loving it. It's the most, like, it's insane. And there's series two, he said now.
And we know full well that Ricky Gervais doesn't have much acting range, but he's just playing Andy Millman from Extras.
Yeah.
He's just a slightly more depressed version of Andy Millman.
Yeah. Did you watch it on the plane?
I downloaded it, yeah. So I watched a few of them on, like, just before we were about to board, and a few more when I was going home. Yeah, it gets very, very serious and more serious as the show goes on. Mm. And I, yeah, that thing with the drug dealer, it's.
I'm, what annoys me is how happy he is and how fine he is with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this is it, because it's. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, without trying to spoil anything for people that haven't listened to it, but it did make me feel very uncomfortable with the series of events that led to what happens. Yeah, very uncomfortable.
It's just crap.
And it's getting the maddest reviews ever. Like, it's finest ever work. Like, you need to go and watch it. It's going to win awards and everything.
I it's getting good reviews from people on Twitter and so on, but from critics, not so much. Like, the AV Club gave it a D, which I think is absolutely deserved.
Yeah.
Because it's dog shit.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Absolute dreck. It really angered me. And like you, Mark, I only sat all the way through it because it was Gervais.
Yeah.
If it would have been a random show starring random people, I'd have turned it off after episode one and never looked back.
And annoyingly, it's a good cast.
Yeah.
I recognise a lot of faces. What's his workmate, the slightly chubby guy who keeps tapping on the back of his head? I don't know what his real name is, but he's
so
in space
things,
and stuff like
he's
that.
He's in Horrible Histories.
His name's Tony Way.
But
he's been around a long time.
I really like that guy. Yeah. He should be doing a lot, but
Ashley Jensen from Extras was completely wasted as the orderly in the
Penelope
nursing
Wilton.
Home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
Who apparently lives on a bench, because she's always there.
Yeah.
Lives on that bench, apparently. It's her home.
I just go, what you should do now, Ben, because you seem so much more angry now.
Yeah.
Just watch Extras and everything's all right again. I was watching Extras yesterday and I just felt everything is good again.
Yeah.
Was it Kate Winslet when she says about fudding herself silly?
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing. Like, literally the best series you can just watch back to back. So good.
Yeah.
But it's downhill from there. But hey,
anyway.
Any more recommendations?
Please do. Please keep your recommendations coming.
Yes.
Do be aware that if we think your recommendation is bullshit, we will say so.
Yes.
That's how we roll. But you can get us on Twitter at STTEpodcast or facebook.com/skiptotheendpodcast, Instagram at skiptotheendpodcast, or you can email us podcast@skiptotheend.co.uk. So that brings us to the end of another episode of the Skip to the End podcast. It's felt like quite a short one, quite a brisk one today.
Yeah, they've been getting quite long, so we needed a short one to then appreciate when we do another long one.
Okay.
Okay, so the long and short of it is...
Yeah, I don't fucking know. We've had too much sugar.
We have.
Yeah, those sweets are good.
I think we need more sugar and more of those sweets.
If any companies are listening or you work for somewhere that does sweets or stuff you want plug in, just send it across, because, you know, we get wineries, we get Haribo, we get whoever make these,
like
sweet tarts.
Nerds and runts.
We get everything.
Laffy Taffy.
If you want it plugged, send it us.
We will take anything. We will plug anything. We have no shame.
We'll sell any old tats.
Yes. Who does your tampons? But yes. But genuinely, what have we got coming up on the next episode?
Oh, dude, it's going to be an absolutely amazing one. So it's my topic round. We're doing top three movie rebels.
That's amazing.
That'd be pretty good fun. Gemma, what is our rewatch?
Our rewatch is Alien.
Ooh. Fucking hell.
Ridley Scott's seminal masterpiece, Alien.
Annoyingly, it's just been on at cinemas. Like, it done like a 40th HD release. Mm. We should have gone.
No, it's the way of the world, isn't it?
What's our main review, Mark?
It is the one and only Lords of Chaos.
Yeah.
That's interesting for us. A bit different.
Yeah. Very different, yeah. An independent film, a true story about an evil Norwegian metal band.
Wow. That's always good. Following Captain Marvel, it goes hand in hand. But it's good. I like the fact that we do these sort of things now and then. Like when we did Annihilation and everyone else was like, oh, you should do this. No, we do what we want.
Exactly.
That's what you get with the Skip to the End
podcast. Ben, who are we masturbating over?
We are masturbating over Denis Villeneuve, or if you want to pronounce it properly, Denis Villeneuve.
That's going to be insane.
Yeah.
I want to hear Mark say it.
No.
Go on.
No. He's kind of a modern master, isn't he? Over the last 5 or 6 years, he's just been releasing great film after great film. So it's going to be really interesting to talk about his best work.
It's no Norbits.
I can't wait for him to do Dune.
Yes.
Oh. I don't care what happens. Yeah. It's just the cast.
The cast is crazy. Who have we got insane. So far? Oscar Isaac, Dave Bautista.
It's mental.
Everybody and their
him and
sink.
Like Tarantino are like trying to one up each other each week. I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be great. We've got a ridiculous amount of prizes to give away.
Loads. And we're going to announce the winner of the signed Brie Larson Funko Pop.
That's
which is
amazing.
Insane. That's a hell of a prize.
It's a big prize.
It is.
I don't know if I'd prefer that to my signed Braun Strowman Pop than I
that's
have.
That's pretty awesome.
Pretty good.
That's pretty cool.
Get these hands.
Yeah. I've got a Corey Funko Pop, but I haven't got it signed.
Oh, get on it.
Don't need to. Just the I don't need pen because he's already engraved in my heart.
Ridiculous.
Oh, so, my God. Jesus.
What else do we do on the podcast?
We'll have another batch of recommendations, I'm sure. We'll have a brand new quiz as well, Mark.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
And this one, we need to make sure there's an outright winner.
Yes, we do.
My victory feels tainted today.
Yeah. And we did, whilst, you know, between segments, we wanted to make sure we got the scores right in this last round of Alphabet. So we checked and we did, in fact, get the scores right. So Mark and I are officially joint winners.
Well, rock, paper, scissor.
Yeah, we should. Well, we could do it now.
Oh, go on, yes, right? This is the real quiz. Oh my God, please.
Rock,
do it right.
Paper, scissors.
Are you sure?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
You know, sudden death, winner take all.
Just one.
Just one. You ready?
One, two, three, and then do it on that side.
Ready?
One, two, three.
Go.
Oh, both scissors.
Both scissors.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Oh!
Yes!
Mark wins. Rock,
oh
crushes,
my
scissors.
Oh, God.
So I can have the belt on the next episode. I love the
what
Mark
the
in the show. Yes, all that hard work.
Special.
This is why we should be filmed. I've got the belt above my head.
So
I feel like I've won WrestleMania. I'm not the special kid. Wow. Wow, we've just done that live.
Mark is the champion of Alphabet.
That's the real quiz.
Via audio rock, paper, scissor.
Wow. So I'm going to have that belt for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Indeed you are.
Wow.
And I think we should wrap this up now because it's not going to get better than that. So, you know, please come back and join us for another dose of pleasure beyond measure. See you in 2 weeks.